It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. We have an all-in-studio panel. Really great people. Of course, we'll be talking about Prism, but the WWDC conference is coming up. Microsoft's got some splaining to do. And Waze, worth $1 billion. Stay tuned. TWiT is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 409, recorded June 9th, 2013. Her skin bowls. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMyPC from Citrix. GoToMyPC connects you directly to your Office Mac or PC from any other computer or from your iPad and iPhone. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today at GoToMyPC.com. Use the promo code TWiT. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com. Use the offer code TWIT6. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter TWIT. And by Carbonite. Automatically and continually back up your computer files to the cloud whenever your computer is connected to the internet for only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWIT to get 2 bonus months with purchase. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the Tin Hat Edition. Actually, we're going to have a lot of fun. We've got a great panel all in studio. It's kind of the dream team here, starting with all the way to my left, Mike Elgin, from Computer World and Elgin.com. It's good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you.
Your international travels have temporarily abated.
Temporarily. Can't wait to get back to Portugal, actually.
Where you're going next?
That's probably where we're going next, yeah.
We have some visitors who brought us some Portuguese white port. Yeah.
And no lemon. I do.
You should stop at the Azores.
I will.
On the way. Also here from ABC is Joanna Stern. Nice to have you. We don't normally see you. You're normally based in New York.
I can't believe this is an amazing studio.
Thank you.
I'll
give you a
tour
later.
I'm always
Yeah, you're
here.
Always a little,
I'm here,
in
usually,
a box.
In
yeah.
A box.
Well, you're out for WWDC tomorrow because tomorrow's a big day.
Yep.
It's exciting. Also here for WWDC, also from New York, Nilay Patel. Great to have you from The Verge.
Great to be here. This is actually very impressive.
Founder of The Verge.
One of them. Yeah, there's a lot of us. Actually, Joanna's a founder of The Verge, too, but she's also a trader.
Really? I didn't know that.
I'm a trader.
That's where you started, and then you moved over to ABC.
Yes.
So you're old
friends.
I mean,
I started someplace.
You actually, did you meet on the plane or you knew each other before?
I actually met him. I was hitchhiking on the one.
Anybody going up to TWiT?
Yeah.
I could use a ride.
That's more or less what happened.
Yeah. And I met him there, and we talked about Prism a little, and then
awesome,
also, and Prism listened to us talking.
Yeah,
about
they
it.
Were
yeah,
watching.
Well,
us.
That's the nice thing, you know. You're never alone anymore. You're never alone. John C. Dvorak also here from Channel Dvorak and the No Agenda Show. He's here as the
what camera do I have?
Look into the camera and say hello, people of Earth.
Hello.
We have a massive audience, partly because WWDC is here.
I'm
so a lot
here
of
for
people,
WWDC.
A lot of people. You are, too?
Yeah, yeah,
you live
absolutely.
Here.
Oh.
Never mind. But we also have a group from that got together on Google+. Keith Acorn put out an invite to view TWiT Live, and I think 17 people said yes. Many of them are Glass Explorers with with the Glass group. So you see more Google Glass here probably than you'll see most of the time, except at a Google I.O., So welcome, everybody. Nice to have you. We got the overflow room filled up, too. And a good day to be here because this is going to be a very interesting topic. Now, I know a lot of people say it's a tech show. We don't want you to talk about politics. And I don't know if we are talking about politics. There's a lot of tech in this story. It broke this week. Glenn Greenwald, who is a blogger, worked for Salon for a while. I'm going to take off the tinfoil hat if you don't mind. My thoughts can now emanate freely. It's actually quite hot. It's a very warm device. He is a former lawyer. Do you know Glenn? Because I don't know him.
Glenn very well.
I've been reading him for a while. He's kind of focused on security.
Yeah.
He wrote for Salon for a while, now writes for The Guardian. Broke a very big story with a PowerPoint presentation, a 41-slide PowerPoint presentation that talked about how the NSA... We almost felt like a marketing presentation. In fact, some people said, this couldn't be real. It's like a marketing presentation.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Did you go through the 41 slides?
The 41 slides aren't released. There's only four or five.
He only showed a few of them.
What's the point of that?
A few blurry ones.
Yeah.
Glenn's going to maximize this, right?
I don't know about that. Go through the chronology of the story.
All right. I don't know about that. So the first thing that we learn from these slides is that data collection was happening. That the slides implied that Google, Microsoft, Facebook, and others, with the notable exception of Twitter,
Skype,
AOL, giving the NSA privileged security to their servers.
Mm-hmm. Direct access.
Direct access.
The key phrase in this entire affair.
And frankly, I think we don't really know what that means. I think that there's two ways to interpret it. And in fact, it's a litmus test on where your politics lie, how you interpret this. So Larry Page of Google's first blog response was a blog post that said, "What the... we do not allow government access to our servers. We respond to government requests for information.
Right.
We vet them with our lawyers. We fight as many as we can. And when we cannot fight it, we give it to them. And we do so on," did he say this? "On a special server that we've arranged with them."
No, he didn't say that.
Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, same thing. We don't do this.
Very much the same thing. And before anybody even, before I even start talking about this, everybody needs to understand that the laws that allow this say that nobody... It's like Fight Club.
You're not supposed
to talk. First rule, you don't talk about it. Nobody's allowed by law to talk about it. So most of the stuff that we've heard is probably colored by the fact that everybody's trying not to break the law.
A lot of these requests for information come from national security letters, most of which, 97% of which as written, prevent the recipient from saying anything at all.
The really important thing that we don't know about this whole story is that the original story published in The Guardian by Glenn Greenwald and in The Washington Post, they were simultaneous stories, basically alleged, and I believe the last line of the Post story, I don't remember if it was Greenwald's story or the Post story, the last line was, they can watch you live type your search queries, right? That's the level of access they have. They have direct access to these servers, whatever's on them, all of your information that's there, they can see it. Now, that story has been... getting softer and softer and softer. Now we're talking about national security letters. We're talking about, they have specific requests for information. The metadata stuff is like, it's out there. There was also another story, which I think has been conflated somewhat, where there was a lawsuit filed against Verizon, and they were ordered to turn over some metadata, which is not part of this FISA stuff. So there's a lot going on. But the core allegation is the government has direct... and this is the key piece, direct access to the servers of these enormous cloud computing companies, and they can monitor them in real time.
So the way to think about this from a technology point of view as opposed to a political one is that big data has come to the security world. Mm-hmm. They're using big data to do security. And what that means is they're hoovering up, as they say in the UK, all the data, all the metadata, whatever it is that they're getting, and they're processing it the way Google processes data in massive, huge scale. And they're, slicing and dicing it, and they're filtering it and figuring out what's going on. So it's a really, really interesting glimpse into where everything is going. Everything is going toward big data. And this happens to be a security.
Right. And the question, and I think the problem is, that's great. You want the law enforcement community to be making use of the tools, right? You want them to catch the bad guys. The question is, what data are they using to catch the bad guys? How much of our data are they using? And what are the constraints upon their acquisition and retention of that data? And we don't have any of those answers, like not a single one. And right now where the story is, and this is why I said I don't know if the rest of the slides are coming out, right now the story has landed at The Guardian and The Washington Post made these incredible accusations. The industry has denied them. The government has said, you know, your senators and your lawmakers, they all know about it. Both parties, all the intelligence committees, they keep approving it. This is just as the same as ever. And there's no evidence on either side to prove which allegation is true. And then The Guardian today pivoted their story from this pile of evidence that they say they have to the person who's presented the evidence.
And I'm talking about Edward Snowden, this whistleblower.
And I think that's
Hong
really
Kong.
Fascinating. And I don't know why you would, if you have this collection of smoking guns, why you would suddenly turn to the leaker instead of the evidence.
Again, we can only say we don't know.
I don't know.
Do you suppose that that's because of pressure from the government to back down or because they realized they didn't have a story?
I don't know. I don't know. And my instinct is to be as negative as possible. And to say that the government definitely has this access, they can't talk about it, because I don't know why they wouldn't want this access, and I don't know why.
So what
in the culture of secrecy that we have, especially around terrorism, why they wouldn't make use of every like legal and political angle to get the access? They would do it.
So Claire Kane Miller, writing in the New York Times, said in at least two cases, Google and Facebook, one of the plans discussed was to build separate secure portals, like a digital version of the secure physical rooms that have long existed for classified information. In some instances, on company servers, so it would be a Google server, for instance. Through these online rooms, the governments would request data, companies would deposit it, the government would retrieve it. That seems like a reasonable procedure. In fact, probably a more secure procedure than emailing it or sending them a box of documents.
I think you'd want
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So the question is that what's happening, or do they really have this backdoor access? And no one knows, and it really comes down to what you believe.
Yeah, and I think what was so interesting is all these statements came out from the tech companies, and they were so similar.
Yep.
So similar. I mean, I sat down, I highlighted them, and it was like...
Interesting.
It was
like
so
somebody
similar.
Wrote it for them.
Well,
or that they coordinated it, or that they were very careful with the language.
I think you're if you're a Silicon Valley general counsel, I think you probably know all the other Silicon Valley general counsels.
Right. What are we going to say, guys?
Yeah, and I think you just have that phone call.
And Larry Page did it.
I don't think there's anything ominous.
It was not from Larry Page. It was from Larry Page and Google's top
senior
lawyer.
Counsel.
And so that tells me that Larry Page is worried about actually breaking the law. He's worried about covering his behind. Why else would you co-write a message about, you know, your company not doing something with coming
you got
from
a lawyer whispering in your ear?
Well, it was from both of them.
I mean, Larry Page was probably like, we should just move everybody to the island.
Okay, well, let's start with what law are we talking about that they're breaking? They take all the email and by the
starting with the Fourth Amendment. The
Fourth Amendment says the government cannot
search and seizure.
That's the government. These are private companies. They can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want.
And that's what they're doing. So, why wasn't anybody complaining, for example, when they came out with, all your email that's 180 days old, it's good to go? Which you remember when that happened? You talked about it on the show, or the one that really gets me.
That was a federal law.
It was leading to this, and the other one, which really cracks me up. Is, we're going to give AT&T, Verizon, and everybody else immunity from all past crimes, which means the wiretapping laws.
Right.
Nobody bitched then. But now, because of this, everyone's complaining.
Remember in 2006, the NSA whistleblower said, I was in a closet. There's a special room at AT&T headquarters in San Francisco. What was his name? Binny. And this is all this AT&T stuff.
And he said this was going on then.
Now, the president said, we're not listening to phone calls. We're not reading emails.
And they're not.
We are watching the movement. We are looking at phone numbers.
Trends.
We're watching trends.
Yeah.
There is a lot of information.
What law
is
being broken by Google? You said there was a law being broken.
The risk of breaking the law by even talking about it.
Yeah, there's
one law.
They've already fought the national security letters. In fact, Google's the only one to stand up to these things. Mm-hmm. Microsoft, if you listen to their commentary, they said, we're not volunteering anything, which means they got a national security letter, and so they're forced to give this information over.
Nobody's forced to put up a private room for the NSA, but
there's not against
no
the law
not to do it.
Twitter
it's
has
a big difference between giving them the fire hose.
Right.
Twitter won't do it. They said, we're not going to help.
But it's not clear that Twitter's been asked.
Yeah, but Twitter sells the fire hose. I mean, that's what they're holding out for.
Seriously,
you can buy the fire hose from them.
Well,
not
but
a direct
that's
message.
That's public tweets, right? I mean, Twitter gets routinely asked for data. Cover the Twitter gets asked for data by rogue governments.
Twitter goes to the Library of Congress. Not direct
messages. So there is private stuff on Twitter. I don't think the FBI or the NSA wants the public tweets. They can get that.
Right.
What they want is the DMs.
Well,
right?
They can get a lot of information
isn't so
from
great.
Public tweets.
It's like not perfect.
And since we're talking about who's giving up what, I read something that said that 98% of the data is coming from Facebook, Google.
Yeah.
And one other company.
Well, Twitter's a broadcast platform, right? I mean, like, right. It's one to many inherently, yes, so I think people know.
Yeah. Definitely not Paltalk.
Yeah, no, probably not
Paltalk. Well, no, so Paltalk was, like, apparently really heavily used during the Arab Spring.
Oh, right. That's true.
So it's used like, in certain parts of the world.
There's a link to that there.
I think we're talking about the rule that they would have been broken here is that the rule or the law that they can't talk about this.
Yeah, my understanding. My understanding is that there's a law within FISA that says... You have to comply,
and you
if
can't.
You're a private company.
But there's
and
no law, that, there's no law that says disclose. You have really to stand around vigorously denying it. Right? There's no law that compels
you're
some positive.
To just shut up is what right? you're supposed
what
to
they
do.
All said is we've never heard of prism. Yeah, so you know it's a buzzword that they didn't hear. Right. It's the word.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Wait, hold on. I mean, you can ascribe negative intention. To all the companies involved, you can ascribe
Mike
negative intention.
Called them cowards.
You can call them cowards. You can ascribe negative intention to the government, but the step you take where you say now everyone is coordinating this legalistic language mm-hmm. to dance around the truth, I don't. That is the leap to conspiracy theory. For
okay,
me.
So here's the part that you can agree with that where there's wrongdoing. The EFF wrote a really compelling piece on this. They apparently in 2011. The FISA court apparently found that the whole thing was a part of this enforcement of this of FISA was unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
So EFF filed a Freedom of Information Act thing to get the details on that, and they were blocked by the Obama administration, who
sure.
said no, only the FISA court can release that, and then the court said only Obama can release
this.
That. So I think we can all agree that. There's not enough transparency about what's going on.
No, I totally agree with that. But what I don't agree with, and I think this is where we're reading these statements and these denials and parsing every word as though there's some hidden meaning there, mm-hmm. I think that misses the point. Because the point is that we need transparency for the government.
Mm-hmm.
I think the companies involved are telling us everything that they can. And if they're not allowed to disclose their participation in some programs, I think they're avoiding saying that. But I don't think they're actively colluding with the government to hide things. I think that is one step too far. And I think if the EFF isn't afraid of the Obama administration and will file lawsuits to do things, I have no ability to understand why Google would be afraid of the government. If Google could say it and the worst that would happen to them is they would get a lawsuit and David Drummond would have to spend some more time
minute.
In federal court.
You have to make your mind. Is they're either afraid of the government or they're not afraid
I don't
of the
think
government.
They are.
I don't either. I think they're colluding. There has to be one or the other.
Why would they collude?
Why not? It's so easier. It's not a matter
think,
of why
maybe,
they're,
right.
what they're doing.
I don't know that this list
come
of companies,
from way left field.
Yeah.
Maybe after 9/11. Of course, remember George Bush started his secret wiretap.
By the way, none of these companies existed then.
Right. The warrantless wiretap started October 9/11.
Microsoft
existed. October 9/11.
Facebook didn't exist.
They have Hotmail on the... They have
Hunter didn't exist.
Do we?
A lot of these
AOL
companies...
AOL did.
Isn't it,
Google did.
Doesn't the federal government feel like it has a silent mandate from the American people to protect it at all costs? And if that means monitoring... cell phone traffic, particularly traffic from the U.S. to overseas, if it means monitoring emails, what's wrong with that?
That's what I say.
Well, here's
really, I'm in agreement with you?
Yeah.
Oh, I must be on the wrong
here's
side.
Here's what's wrong with it. Here's what's wrong with it. So assuming the general accusation is accurate, that they're gobbling up all the metadata to find out who's talking to whom, and then from that, they're figuring out what to get a warrant for to go in deep. That's the accusation, and that is clearly unconstitutional. The
fishing expedition is really
because the Fourth Amendment specifically talks about you can't do fishing expeditions. They can't go through your house to see if there's anything illegal going on in your house.
Here's one of the things going on according to Binney, and I think this is true. And all you have to do is look at that Utah facility that the NSA is building.
A million square
foot
facility.
They're going to record every phone call you've ever made all in real time, and they're going to save it all. They're not going to be listening to your calls just like Obama said. They're going to save every call, and then they'll get a warrant when they think of something because right. you're a terrorist, let's say. And they'll be able to grab all
Thanks,
the
Sean.
Old calls.
They may not even save it. I mean, they're encouraging ISPs to do this, right?
They're trying.
ISPs are supposed to have 18 months of your internet activity. They're probably getting help from the phone companies. It's probably being
terabytes
saved in many
places.
Well, here's the craziest thing about all of this.
55.
This is, This is Minority Report. This is about pre-crime.
Right.
They're building. They're building psychic like robot, genetically engineered humans, in form of computers, to prevent crimes before they happen. It's amazing.
Well, Minority Report. I'm not buying this.
That's what they're trying to do.
I mean, I think there's a long history of our government working in cooperation with the phone companies. So the phone, I mean, like,
yeah.
saying
they gave them immunity.
Right, they've given them immunity. I mean, if you pick up a landline phone, the government has mm-hmm. been able to tap that since, like, the 40s, mm-hmm. right? So, and there's an expectation. I mean, it's in popular culture that if you, mm-hmm. you know, people are using burner phones on the wire because they know that the right. landlines are tapped.
Right.
What I think is interesting is many of the companies involved, I won't say all of them, but many of them have publicly said, we are not cooperating in this way. We're only doing what's legally required of us. And what the government has not said is what they deem to be legally required of these companies. And that's the only disconnect here, is the Google and Facebook, all this coordinated responses. They're saying what they have to say. They're saying we're doing what's legally required of us, and we're doing our best to not overstep that. Now, the question is, and the accusation is, they're doing more and they're not telling you about it. And the government is demanding more than you think is reasonable. And nobody knows if that's true or not.
Was that an error to say that that the government can watch in real time your transactions?
Maybe they can. I mean, you got to think somebody at Google can.
Somebody at Google for surely can.
Well, don't you remember the one search engine that used to have the real-time searches flying by?
Google has that in the lobby. They still do, yeah.
Yeah.
The government can do that for sure, but it's the Chinese government.
According to IBM, every day we create 2.5 quintillion bytes of data.
Yeah. Did you just Google
it? It's a lot of storage.
No,
rare peek behind the scenes of Twitter.
I had seen this number before, and I was trying to find it. 90% of the data in the world today has been created in the last 2 years alone. So you better have a big-ass hard drive.
Yeah.
Million square feet of servers?
2.5 right? quintillion yeah. bytes.
I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, Google has the entire internet stored. The State Department had the internet in a box, which was most of the internet stored in a suitcase.
12 terabytes of tweets a day.
Let's leave those out.
So much valuable information in those tweets, yeah. too.
I had a really good sandwich this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in regards to the metadata, I want to tell an anecdote, which I've told before, and I'll tell it again. In the 90s, this was going on. I was in London at a PC Magazine UK event where we were being shown certain kinds of new technologies that were being developed by Interpol. And Interpol showed, this is a network analysis, they showed, here's what we can do. We can take all these phone calls, the metadata, who called who, how long it lasted, and the rest of it. And then he showed us this crazy network map. He says, we can spot a crime boss using this data because we can see who's, you know, just based on the way they call each other. And how long the calls last?
Apparently, it's only 5 points of data needed to actually identify somebody.
So, by the way, this wouldn't surprise me.
This kind of metadata.
And we had a piece. One of our writers, Josh Copstein, wrote a great piece. Is metadata is dangerous?
Right.
And it's
viewed by the government as something that does not require a warrant.
Right. Right.
Their portal. Every cell company has a portal for law enforcement of any kind for $1.50 to find out where you are.
The phone companies. Again, the phone companies. If you want to talk about companies who collude with the government,
yeah.
I mean, well, AT&T was granted a monopoly right. on building infrastructure in this company, right.
As long as they continue to
right. So I mean, like,
so. But remember Echelon. Remember we talked for a long time.
And that building still in San Francisco.
Echelon was never admitted to by the United States, but was admitted to by the British government as a joint program of Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the UK, and the US to basically scan all electronic signal. Which means email, phones, everything, for keywords.
Yeah.
You say hummus and bomb in the same sentence.
Boom.
Boom.
Who else but a terrorist would say hummus?
That's my favorite type of hummus.
It's delicious.
Yeah. Yes. Hummus bomb.
It's the bomb.
Oh, God. We're all going to hell. Or Hong Kong, one or the other.
Yeah. It's my favorite sandwich.
Is it true that there's no extradition from Hong Kong?
That's absolutely not true.
That's what I thought. I don't know why this guy's there.
So here in Argentina.
Here's my paranoid conspiracy theory.
Where do you go if you don't? Just not
okay, Leo.
Dude, I was a copyright attorney. You think I know the answer to that question? So,
you could look it up. I think Paraguay. I think Argentina. No. I think maybe Uruguay.
I'm figuring, but Belize, here's that's amazing, why McAfee's there.
Belize also has like the Babes, which is why McAfee is there.
Yeah, and if you don't give the government enough money, you can get in trouble.
So. I did a post on this that I think somehow the Chinese government has got to be behind the leak and the timing of the leak because it was so beautiful for them. Yeah. Obama was just scheduled to go take premier of China, the president of China, out on the carpet for their hacking.
Spank him.
You can be the backup guy for no agenda.
It's just
timing is perfect.
It's either. This stuff has been going on for years, and the story breaks 3 days before Obama's about to lecture hacking.
He had to respond to it while he's talking to the Chinese premier.
Both of them got together and said, let's talk about the climate.
In Palo Alto, yeah.
Yeah, but again, it's a good rises to the.
Yeah,
I mean, I think there's just a lot of fodder here. Yeah. All I want to know. Here's what I want to know: can the government look at my Google search queries as I type them?
And why do you care?
I do care. I mean, I care about.
Why do you care?
I think that leads. Look, our lives are now led online, right? They're wholly led online.
Shouldn't you just presume that impermissible everything you're doing
intrusion.
Online is public?
No, the same way you shouldn't assume
only
that everything
you do
in your home is public. I mean, there is
just
no.
I want to know what Neil is searching
and
for.
I've searched for a lot of super. Let's just be clear.
The only thing that anybody's ever said in regards to this, the only risk that anybody's ever mentioned, is that insurance companies might deny you insurance because you search for donuts.
But that's not the risk.
What is the risk?
That's not the bad risk.
That is
the
risk.
The risk is that we pride ourselves in this country on freedom of expression, on freedom of thought, on radical innovation. Right, this whole valley around us is. Pride on weird ideas becoming reality.
Right.
And if we are constantly monitoring everyone, we will clamp down on that. There will be a chilling effect. And you cannot tell me, and I think we've actually done a disservice to ourselves as participants in like the tech community. You can't tell me where the line between your offline life and your online life begins and where that boundary should be and where it is for everyone. We don't talk about it because it's not important. Quite frankly, right?
But
it's
really,
only important now when the government is watching everything you do in one part of your life and there's an entire set of restrictions and constraints on the other
practically,
side.
Practically, really, why is it a chilling effect?
What do you
mean? You going to not search for something because the government's collecting your searches?
It depends on
presumably your ISP and Google are doing it all.
Start now, Leo, and for the next couple of weeks, search for IED.
Do you share everything you do on Facebook?
No.
Why?
Because it's public, same as anything else I do on the internet.
So, would you search for IEDs?
No.
Okay.
Is that a chilling effect?
No. But,
why
is it that you wouldn't post everything?
I would search for IEDs if I wanted to know about IEDs.
Yeah.
Why is it that
you think they would come knocking on my door because I search for IEDs?
I think so.
Well, I think we should all search for IEDs and just overwhelm
law enforcement.
Have the chat
room do it.
Yeah.
That'll take care of a lot of problems.
And I'm on your network, so.
Well, let's all do it then. Might as well.
Yeah. Wait, I don't understand. Why do you feel less comfortable posting things?
But is there any
to your, in public for you laptop. On Facebook is a network of your fans and people who are invested in your welfare.
Do you have evidence that the government is now going out and prosecuting people?
I don't have evidence of anything.
Because of their
searches?
That's
actually my big problem here is I don't have evidence of anything.
Well, because
I have four slides out of a PowerPoint deck.
No, I understand. But there's no example right now of somebody, the government knocking on your door because of your Google searches.
I think there are many examples through history of overzealous police actions being taken because of...
I agree, but we don't... But are you saying...
No, in the United States of America, you know, we have a high rate of false accusations. We have a high rate of, like, people being killed, like, you know, executed for crimes they didn't commit, like, higher than we should.
Right.
Why would we allow the government to start monitoring everything? Like, unless you can prove to me that law enforcement in this country is perfect... Which maybe
so
you can.
How do you,
I hope
no,
you can.
I can't. So how do you balance?
But why would
then,
I give them the benefit of the doubt?
How do you balance then the need for security, which I guess we after 9/11 we'd agree we need something.
I think we just. I mean, it's the same as look. The Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment conversation in this country is not like a new conversation.
Right. It's long-standing.
What's new about it is it's happening online now.
Right.
And the technology community has long said, "Don't regulate the internet. Stay the hell away from it." Right, so laws like CISPA, you and I got into a big argument at SOPA once upon a time.
Right.
Those we shout down these laws instead of saying what they should be and how they should work. And
that
was
your position was that instead of trying to say no SOPA, we should come up with a good law.
Yeah, we should come up with something that works that balances our interests correctly.
Right.
Because that's not happening, we employ spies. As taxpayers in the United States of America, we employ thousands upon thousands of spies.
Right.
They are meant to do spying.
Well, and
they're going to figure it out.
And that's
whether or not we give them the tools or not. What we need to do is give them the tools and set the limits transparently, which we're not doing.
Certainly the benefit of this kind of discussion is at least there's for the first time some discussion about this and transparency.
Right. No, I
agree. I suspect there's no transparency. I apologize. That's the wrong word. But there's a call for transparency from the federal government. And I think,
from the tech companies.
And from the tech companies. And I think we should continue that call. And the discussion should be had. How much security do we want? How much privacy are we willing to give up? I think that's legitimate.
Yeah.
I think that's completely legitimate. But I fear it won't.
And what I'm very concerned about right now.
After WWDC, everybody's going to talk about the new shiny thing.
Yeah. And they're going to talk about this guy. They're going to talk about Edward Snowden. And I think that is really
So you think he's been pushed forward
as... He's a hero, right? I mean, I'm watching my tweet stream today.
Well, he's either Bradley Manning or he's Bradley Manning. He's either a hero or a goat, depending.
Right.
I'm even watching the chat room.
You don't think
some
he
people
could
say
be
he's a traitor?
You don't think he could be a plant?
You think
there is a battle going on between the CIA and the NSA. It's pretty apparent. And he was ex-CIA. This doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I should hang out with you more. You're very interesting.
Oh, he is. Interesting is the word.
No, just listen to the No Agenda show every Thursdays and Sundays.
Twice a week now.
I don't think... I mean, the amount of collusion... And then Glenn Greenwald fell for the plan, right? I mean, like...
I didn't say that.
That, to me, is just...
You don't think it's possible?
You think it's not possible
for an ex-CIA guy... who went to work for Booz Allen, still has contacts at the agency, to go in as a contractor to the NSA and then blow this out of the water to embarrass the NSA?
I don't think this
is possible?
And I also think I think things are – life is more chaotic and shitty and unplanned than that.
Can you say that?
I don't think so.
Plans don't work out that well.
Here's the thing that I think everybody should be focusing on the fact that
plan.
The decision about that balance between security and privacy shouldn't be made by closed doors.
In secret.
I mean, we're finding out about something that's been going on for years.
Right.
So essentially, our government has kind of like...
And the only counter-argument they have is, well, if we tell you how you're spying on us, you'll find a new way to hide.
You know,
it's like, well, yes.
We make decisions all the time. Like, if you really want to save lives, ban cars. We'd save thousands and thousands of lives, but we don't make that choice. We decide...
About
the utility
40, 000,
of cars
by
is
the
worth
way.
The fatalities.
40,000 a year.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well,
it's
dude,
huge.
Even the TSA, like this happened to me today. So I'm a brown man and I fly with a bag full of wires quite frequently. So I'm often subject.
Did you get searched?
I get stopped all the time.
I entered Turkey with a kilo of white tea, which looks just like dope. Man, I tell you, I was thinking about that. What was that movie?
Can I get some tea later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Express, whatever it was.
Horrible.
Well, no, so today, and this has been happening, I've been flying a lot recently, and we're doing a lot of live blogging. We're live blogging WWC tomorrow, and we have batteries for our computers. So I have two of them in my bag. And every time I fly with these batteries, the TSA stops me, asks me a bunch of questions. They hold up the battery, and then they tell me how to repack it so I won't get stopped next time. Wow. And I'm like, this didn't
help.
Well,
that's nice.
You got to do what Alex Lindsay does. He actually put a Velcro badge that says security on his backpack.
Yeah.
He says, I never get searched anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fine.
You're
in
security.
Yeah, every now and then they're like, put it at the, and it's funny because the advice is always different. They're like, put it at the bottom. Then we can't see
then
it.
Then we can't see it.
And they're like,
that's good.
Or then they're like, put it at the top so we can definitely see it.
I can top that story.
Yeah.
I went to the airport one time and I went up to the person right before security and I asked them, do you want a CID? And she didn't quite hear me. She heard CID. CID is the acronym for people who are carrying weapons. She said, yeah, okay, just go around. She thought I had a loaded gun. She said, just, go ahead.
Yeah. That's what she told you.
Wow.
Yes.
That's the topic. I thought I could top that one.
She thought I was an air marshal.
Oh.
Like in Bridesmaids.
You look like an air marshal.
Yeah, you do.
You know what?
Actually, he does.
He looks totally like an air marshal.
Yeah. You need to have a little IFB that's kind of built into you all the time.
No, watch your ass, Dvorak.
Just have
hey, right.
He has a nice erect posture.
Yeah.
He looks manly. I would say you're an air marshal.
He looks government agent.
He's got a close cropped hair.
Yeah.
You don't need anything. You should do that every time.
So where's my gun?
Yeah.
You don't need a gun.
Just flash your wallet.
It's a great scene with, in Bridesmaids.
I'm with
very funny.
Good
I'm
job
a marshal.
In that scene.
Marshal. Yeah. He was a marshal, by the way, in that
yes,
movie.
He was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
Yeah.
It was a great scene.
Yeah.
Let that be a lesson to us.
Probably,
all right.
We probably have a gun right now.
So we've gotten over this.
We're going to move on.
Yes.
We're going to move on. But is there anybody wants to offer a bottom line to this? My bottom line is... You should assume you're being watched.
Yeah, and you should listen to the last No Agenda show where Adam Curry comes up with the concept that it's all about Adobe.
Adobe?
Figure that one out,
Adobe.
Folks.
Adobe, the software company?
I'm done with
they
it.
Are working,
I am done with
he
it.
He finally agrees with Apple about
they're
something.
Building. Yeah, right.
That presentation could have
been
done.
Been saying that for years. No, they're building the NSA facility in Utah. They're working with Adobe.
You're kidding.
That's all, just, you're just PDF giving PDF. Adam more ammunition.
Yeah. They're using Acrobat.
That presentation could have used some real help from Adobe.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's some real cleaning up from Adobe.
They threw it together.
Yeah.
What about Autodesk? You worry about them?
No.
All right.
I love Autodesk.
I don't trust Photoshop, though, I tell you.
No.
Is Adobe a sponsor for the show? Is that you're about to go into
you
the ad?
That'd
be the worst transition to a sponsor.
No, but unfortunately, every one of our sponsors is a cloud company.
Of course.
Phew.
Have you asked them?
Which is like,
do they provide direct access? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Everything's a cloud company.
Everything is, though. I mean, we couldn't have a sponsor. Ford was not a cloud company.
They are. Sync is a cloud platform.
Oh, crap.
Yeah,
see, nobody's
they know where
safe.
You're driving.
That's why, actually, to back you up, and I'm not being facetious now, that is a chilling effect, right? Because nobody trusts online anymore.
Yeah.
I don't. But I've been saying that for years.
With a glint in your eye.
No. I've said that they should shut down the internet.
That's a popular notion.
Yeah.
There you go, huh?
Is it not?
And that's it for the show, everyone.
Is it not reasonable? Yeah, really, we're not going to have much of a show if there's no internet. Is it not reasonable to, good or bad, just assume that you know, Skype or Facebook or Google, what you're doing is not in private?
Well, I mean, the arguments for these companies, it's funny because these companies have been having arguments around the world for years that we've been laughing at, right? Like, India wants to shut down BlackBerry Messenger because they can't hack it. Saudi Arabia to shut down Viber. Like,
right.
If these companies don't comply, is that what they're scared
of? It's almost certain that Microsoft put a backdoor in Skype. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind.
They've only owned Skype for a handful of months.
The first thing they did.
Like, they showed up.
You think they can code that?
Ballmer showed up. He's like, I brought this door.
I questioned if they
could
code it.
It's actually a window.
Yeah.
It's a back window.
But right. You know, I would, if I were a political dissident, I probably wouldn't use Skype to call my
I definitely
my
would not
cell,
use Skype. Yeah.
Right? No. Are there not good ways to obscure everything you're doing? Do we not have good encryption technology that, frankly, is widespread and well known?
No, it's not widespread and well known. The problem is that the drug dealers and the terrorists and the security nerds all use that stuff. Right. And then 99%
the
of the population
us,
doesn't.
Yeah, I spoke to, that was one of the first people I spoke to on Friday, was an encryption specialist. He was a Colorado University, a computer science specialist. And he was saying, you know, that's what needs to happen here. If people want to take precautions, that's what they have to do. And I was like, well, how easy is that for people to do? And he started going through services, and I was like, I'm a tech editor, and that does not even sound like something I could explain to people.
The only person who's going to do it is somebody who has a strong interest in not being spied upon. Mm-hmm. In other words, a crook.
Yeah.
And for a long
time. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, but that's
a
the
drug
point.
Dealer,
for a long, and so really,
why
the spying, people get
you're
spied
not doing
on
nothing
people
wrong.
Like us.
Why would you use encryption if you're not doing anything wrong?
Yeah, actually,
I mean,
government official said that. He
it's
said, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to fear. Yeah. He actually
when
said
you
that
get,
today.
When you get elected in office, they should just hand you a plaque that you put on your office wall that says, never, ever say, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to fear. Like, if you have any position of authority, you are not allowed to say that. Like, that's just not the line that our Constitution has drawn.
Yeah.
And there are many reasons why you wouldn't want other people listening to your conversations. And some of them are stupid, right? Maybe you're just having a stupid conversation.
For a long time, I've talked
I hate plugging my Spotify into Facebook because sometimes I listen to dumb music. Like, why should – that should be the standard.
Or we
like,
could find out
– I want to make it public.
We could find out, for example, that you're a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, the ultimate trainer. I'll say something like that.
By the way, that conspiracy is less likely than your conspiracy. I just want you to know that.
All right. Well,
I'm just saying. On the scale of conspiracy.
Yeah, so now talking too much
for
about
a long time, law enforcement – I know this from talking
over
to people like at the Secret Service. Just assume crooks are dumb.
Yeah.
Secret Service would say, we don't worry about encryption. They always give us the password anyway. You know, they just say, what's the password? Well, monkey 123. It's not, but I don't think that we can assume that any. I think they're starting to worry.
Yeah.
That these means of encryption are becoming widespread and well enough known and easy enough to use, frankly, that bad guys might start using them. And now we got a problem, right?
Yeah. And that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, the vast...
Well, should we be worried?
Well, heaven forbid that law enforcement actually do some real police work like they used to do before we had any of these
it's
systems.
It's always going to be an arms race, you know, a technical arms race back and forth. And, you know, in this mix somewhere, the public has the right to sort of push back on encroachments and in our privacy and stuff like that. So there's multiple things happening at once. But, yeah, absolutely, the sophisticated criminals, the most dangerous ones, are going to use good encryption and... Yes, the governments are going to see the use of encryption as evidence that there's wrongdoing and that's not right and so on. So this
what do you mean
this
by,
is going to go on, but
by
we have
real
to have the conversation.
I keep hearing this phrase. What is
real
police
work? Well, I'll give you a good
work?
Example. You know, they use as an example this guy who was doing the going to bomb the New York subways and see these email intercepts. And it turned out, really, it was pretty much standard police work that caught this.
Okay,
guy.
What did that entail?
I can't remember. I read the article,
but it wasn't electronic interception. Going and asking people what happened, getting witnesses, taking
to me sounds like the fingerprinting job.
It wasn't electronic interception,
right? But that is just the careful and fastidious collection of evidence in compliance with the law, right?
Police work, but
if you live half or more of your life online.
Right.
You need to be able to do that type of police work with the data and the communication that you have online.
So this,
online, you're not doing
this
much
is exactly,
crime.
Though, I agree, and I think this is exactly
you're
the fear.
You're online all day. What are you going to be doing? You're not out there shooting.
Bad guys go online now.
Yeah, they do.
Right, I know. Have you seen some of the
online.
Trolls in
they
our
don't
chat
go to
room?
Yeah. Store.
Wow. All of you are criminals.
I'm so sorry.
I just want you to know. Every one of you is a criminal.
You're right. Here it comes. Haven't, but I mean, I think there's a reasonable fear that people are going to start using things like this CryptoCat, which gives you complete privacy in IAM. Crypto.cat. Steve Gibson talked about this, vetted it. Completely strong encryption during your chat.
So I'm chatting with somebody and I'm using CryptoCat. What's he using?
CryptoCat.
Oh, you both sides have to use this.
I remember years ago I installed PGP and started sending out my signature and saying, encouraging people to encrypt their email back and forth. Nobody did it.
Nobody
of course not. And nobody's going to do this either.
Well, but bad guys might.
Well, they have a better logo.
It's a good logo, isn't it? Yeah. It's an 8-bit logo. No, you squint your eyes, it's better. Let me have some more port, you'll feel better. No. Go to my PC. Let's talk about it. GOTOMYPC.com.
It's just the wrong.
That's a terrible segue.
It's a great segue.
It's secure. It's SSL.
Maybe you want to talk about shifting that to
it's
later
secure.
In the show.
Secure. You know what?
Stamps.com now.
Say you're at an internet cafe and you're surfing around. And you're worried about people spying on you. What do? You just open up your iPad, your iPhone, your Android device, your laptop. You log into your GoToMyPC account. Now, the whole transaction is SSL encrypted, strong encryption, all the way back to the server, back to your office. Now, I can't help you if your office is being spied upon, but that's another matter entirely. GoToMyPC is actually quite amazing. A lot of people use it as a VPN almost. It's also, of course, a great way to be at work without being at work. In the summertime, this is such a nice thing to have. You can still be productive, get stuff done, and escape the office. There's always something to do, right? Go to my PC from Citrix. Secure remote access to a Mac or a PC. You can send and receive email, access any file, even on the network. You can run any program, even if it's not installed on your mobile device. I like Go to my PC. I know you'll love it. And for 30 days, you could try it free. Go to mypc.com. Actually, this is a way to encrypt your data. To surf back to the office, try it free button. Enter the promo code TWIT. Go to mypc.com. Try it free. Promo code TWIT. And I use it, and I'm very happy with it. Now, let's move on. But I feel like we're going to hear a lot more over the next week about PRISM. What should people be looking for? What are the key phrases? What do we want? Do we want the president to engage in a conversation about what should happen?
He told everyone to shut up.
Yeah, well, he said he would listen, and he meant it to everybody all the time.
Good one, yeah.
I think that's what we want, right? We want our members of Congress to speak up, as they have. Mark Wyden has, and a few others.
It's funny about the Congress.
Wyden and
John McCain today said, I don't think we need to brief all 535 members of Congress on everything that the intelligence community does. That's why we have committees.
Right.
So, like,
the intelligence committee gets briefed.
Right. But, I mean, we're not, as the American public, I think if the people on the intelligence committees are saying we don't want to brief 500 people in Congress,
right.
I don't know if they're going to brief 800 million people in the United States.
Well, we are in a representative. We're in a representative. We're not in a full democracy. We're a representative republic.
I would like my representative to know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
It's a first step.
Well, that's what people should do. They should write their member of Congress. They should say, it's not good for the polity of this nation. Mm-hmm. It's not good for innovation. It's not good for the internet for this kind of activity to go on. It has a chilling effect. And I would like you to call for more openness, more transparency, to participate in the conversation, overturn the Patriot Act, stop these NSLs, these national security letters, and protect the Fourth Amendment. How about that?
That'd be good.
Are you going to do that, Leo?
No.
The EFF is going to do that. So if you want to put
some
juice on it.
You can go to EFF.com.
They're on the right side of this, and they're pushing for it.
Activism, I can't remember.
And I think as the story unfolds, I think we need to see
The Guardian and The Post, and now The Times is getting involved.
Yep.
We need to see them build.
Have they done a good job? There it is. Stop mass surveillance. Tell Congress.
Yeah.
EFF.org.
I mean, the EFF is a, you know, they do a very good job of promoting their causes, yeah. But they need the journalists to get
see their take action now. Now, this is really important because they're going to go by your zip code. I would say the best thing to do is snail mail or a phone call to your member
phone
of Congress.
Calls work very well.
They're very effective. They log them
Don't
all.
Don't use Skype, though.
Actually, you should use Skype for that
use
one.
Skype. NSA, I know you're listening. I got a message.
Actually, the mail is the best way, and I should mention, by the way, this idea of canning the whole USPS in favor of electronic stuff just gets rid of all those great laws that right. keep the mail safe from people snooping on it.
Right. Mail has more protections than electronic.
It has tons of protections. You can't defraud somebody with a bad contract or some scam right. over the mail. You can do it with FedEx. Right. And there's all the mail system is very important.
That's why we need to keep cash as well.
And people, by the way, if you send them a letter, it gets a lot more of really nailed. I mean, these guys pay more attention because they're old timers. They get a letter. Oh, my God, what does this person say? Because right. you went through trouble
right.
to make a letter.
Yes, the more
you're on electronic, you just crank out some crap and hit the return key.
Well, it also verifies that you're a constituent, that you're writing from their.
Right, even though you can.
You could fake that.
You could just drive.
But then you really care. That means you really care.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so we should be watching for that. Do you think, Neil, that the Guardian and the Post have done a good job here?
I think they did.
They've raised a lot of questions.
They've raised
a lot of
questions. I think right now they're in a phase that troubles me, where it appears to be pure
backing
advocacy,
yeah.
not backing down.
No?
I think their rhetoric has stepped up. Right.
Interesting.
They're saying we've got more. We got these bombshells. You should all be afraid.
Right.
And I'm not seeing the evidence. I'm not seeing the bombshells.
Let's see the rest of the
deck. I'm seeing this poor kid, Edward Snowden.
Right.
And they're. He's not evidence. He's just
an available data point, and everything else is behind closed doors. So.
Right. And I we'll see what happens the rest of this week. But I will say that the revelation of who this guy was today didn't strike me as. So I'm like, we won, and I've right. seen a lot mm-hmm. of like, he's a hero. We won. The government's wrong. He's just a guy with a PowerPoint deck, and they need more than that.
I want to see the rest of that deck.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's if we want to push the government for transparency, we should probably push the Guardian for this.
Could have April Fools at the very end right. for all we know.
I want to know where I can get some of that clip art. That was awesome.
That was great.
Actually, I think it's signed Adam Curry,
great.
Which is kind of a surprise. Didn't expect that. How many of you have porn on your Google Glass? Nobody, because. Joanna?
They're not paying attention.
Joanna, she's got hers
they banned,
properly.
They banned the app before we get
glass.
To it.
So,
casual glass. Battery's dead.
So I like that look.
Yeah, it's like a headband.
Is the battery
dead? It's the most expensive headband in the world. $1,600 headband.
It's not even symmetric.
No.
No.
It's super fashionable now.
Yeah, I'm going to wear this to WWDC tomorrow. Yeah. What do you think?
Oh, definitely.
I love that.
Yeah.
But like that.
Do you think they'll let you in with that?
Apple has such a good sense of humor.
So some porn company, My Candy, MII Candy with a K,
yep.
.com, right?
Just one
checking.
K.
Okay. Made a website where it's supposedly all POV porn from Google Glass. Except I bet it's not.
It's not.
It's just a porn site. Google immediately said, no, we don't allow porn software. It wasn't that you were looking at porn on that little screen, because that wouldn't be much fun.
Well, it was, actually.
It was?
Yeah.
It was
I actually
fun?
Followed this story pretty closely. That's going to come off wrong.
as long as it comes off.
It already did.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. I'm sorry, baby. I just couldn't stop myself.
I was going to be on YouTube for sure. Can't wait.
It came off just right, baby.
So this company, I'm going to explain a little bit of the backstory. I was on the phone with the CEO a couple of times.
My Candy?
Yes, the CEO of My Candy and the other founder.
It's just a sleazy grab
for
attention,
right? But actually, the interesting thing is that there wasn't a clause in the Google Glass developers. I guess it's kind of their terms of service now it wasn't in there before.
It is now.
And now it is.
Yeah.
So this company came out with it. It was supposed to be both. They were offering some X-rated content, and then they were allowing glass owners to take photos and upload
right.
them. And so then they clamped down. I guess they also had their API limit revoked or their API token. Yeah. And
Google's quite right in this.
And now they're trying to actually craft an app that doesn't
Why is Google right in this?
I don't know how you make a porn
because
app
it's the last thing you want people to start doing with Glass.
Who cares?
I mean, they have this already for Android. I mean, they
Because that was the whole thing. Steve Jobs said. He said to that Wired writer or the Gawker writer, "If you want porn, go look at Android."
Right. Well, but they don't allow it in the store. They don't let it in the Play Store.
Yeah. Okay.
They allow you to like get a third party app, and that's actually what this company does. This company allows you to put. An app store, that's that what they do. They're apps. They're an app store that lets you get more porn content from the store.
I think that the other thing that's kind of odd was their refusal to let you do the face recognition thing on the Google Glass.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's a new Larry Page Google. They're very sort of arbitrary about certain things. Like if you look at Google Plus, they don't want to screw it up.
They're trying to avoid becoming. They want they have a larger game.
How about they're working on this problem and they were going to bring it out and charge
people. No.
I think they're also trying to be really sensitive here. They know there's so much attention to privacy around this. There's so many. I mean, everyone from the government to independent app makers are all worried about this because they don't want their app and their stuff to be seen as encroaching on your privacy. And they are trying to say, okay, we're not going to allow that right now.
Right.
And also,
I don't think
it's
not going to ever come. I think it's just right now.
When you wear Glass, everybody assumes that it's on all the time. That's already invading their privacy.
Yes. Right.
And I think Google just wants to. They're going to get there. I mean,
they've got a bigger.
There's going to come a point when Google flips a switch and the Glass camera is on all the time talking to Google. It has to. You don't build that unless that's the end game.
Really?
And I think
you're calling these other people conspiracists? I mean, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Well, the reason that you would do it is so that the
batteries will drop dead.
I doubt that, John.
But there's no way
that's the craziest thing you've ever heard.
Yeah. But the reason you do that, you don't do it so the...
That was a mistake.
You don't do it so the camera can give Google stuff. You do it so the display can give you stuff.
Right.
Right. And that's the end game for Glass is the display is on all the time.
Well, they better do something about battery technology if they're going to do that.
Well, yes. I agree with you.
And I'd like them to actually do object recognition before they did facial recognition.
Well, they will do that. Google goggles did that, right?
You could That's what I want. I actually kind of reviewed these. I haven't wanted to review them, but I did a piece earlier this week about how I wanted to return these.
Because Glass. What the hell am I eating?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. What am I eating? Or I want to look at the subway station and know when is the next train coming before having to go down. Right. That's the kind of stuff that would make me wear these and not keep them in my bag all the time.
Right. Why do you not want to review them?
Because, I mean, they're not done. You know, normal people can't buy these. Not that you guys aren't normal, but...
we have a large audience of non-normal.
You're not normal.
But, I mean, no one, you can't buy these. They're not going to cost $1,500 when they really do come out. But, on the other hand, I did pay $1,500 for these, and I wanted to return them.
Where are yours, Leo?
Yeah, where are yours?
Jason Howell has them.
Oh, you did get them?
Yes. And Jason has a newborn. And I thought a much better person to have a Glass. And frankly, I would wear them for one day, and then it would be.
That's how I've been.
He did a tweet that said, "If I had Glass, I would give them to Jason Howell." And I said it.
No, I bought him last year at the Google I/O.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Jason's a better person, and he also hosts our All About Android show and all of that.
A lot of people have actually said to me, "I bet you would wear them a lot more if you had children."
Yeah.
Well, the Google people.
I put my article up on Friday, people were like, I bet that wouldn't be true.
And yet I met some people. This guy over here, he says he wears it all the time. Doesn't want to be without it.
What do you do with it?
There's two of them.
He's a developer.
He runs a porn site.
Now, there's some of Jason's pictures. That's his daughter, Lucy.
Right.
And a kid peeing on the sidewalk. But what is great about Glass with a baby is the baby's looking at you while you're taking a picture instead of at a camera.
Surprising. And so you get run off screaming thinking you're a Borg.
They're not that big. I don't think a baby notices. They just think daddy has big eyes.
They run off screaming when you take them off. They don't recognize you.
But so you don't tire of having that there. He said one of the things he does is he uses it as a timepiece. He always knows what time it is.
Yeah, the time is always...
I like that
Is
a
it
lot.
Really? That's a good feature of that?
I like that a lot.
You have a clock floating in your vision at all times.
And when you're in a meeting, you can just casually
check
the
time. Right, you're not doing that.
But you have to do this?
No, I just...
Yeah, I just do this.
Yeah.
You can kind of scratch yourself.
Yeah. And then the screen lights up.
I do this. I brush my hair.
I got to throw my hair along.
Have you set it so that it goes on tilt, or do you have it temple tap? Both. Temple tap or tilt would work.
Yeah.
I think this looks kind of dumb. The peacock thing.
You don't look dumb at all. You look totally great.
You do that.
I actually gave them to my uncle, and my uncle has a hard time doing this, so he went like this.
Do Google.
he'll love that I'm making fun of him right now.
I'm so sick.
And I was like, that doesn't work for you.
I'm getting nauseous.
John has escaped.
No, he's taking a picture of the guy who wears glass all the time. Hey, while John has wandered off, let's take a look at what you might have missed if you didn't watch Twit every single moment this week.
Previously on Twit, iPad Today.
The root beer float edition of iPad Today. When you mentioned last week that you desired a root beer float, I took you at your word.
Oh, are you going to act like you made these for us?
No, I did not make these. I made them happen.
Oh.
Frame rate.
Game of Thrones. The Red Wedding. My experience personally was sitting there with my nephew and my wife, who have not read the book, and just trying to keep a blank face.
It was suffocatingly terrifying for me, knowing what was going to happen.
OMG Craft.
Now, it works just the same as the other carpet. When you set it down on the ground, it just kind of hits the ground, and you can see that it is enchanted. It looks different than the other carpet. And then when we punch it to unroll it, whoa! Look at that! It's magical!
This Week in Google.
These long curves in the middle are where it connects one piece to the other piece, saying these are similar enough we can do the jump. And if you hit the top and hit play, it'll play around and sometimes it'll jump across.
Oh, go ahead, Chad. What the hell?
I found a little bit of a glitch and I wanted to point out...
Why? Okay, the final countdown by Europe. It's in an infinite loop. I can't believe you even tried the final countdown.
Know-how.
Today we're going to be calibrating our TVs. And the thing is, you know, if you're wondering, why would you calibrate your TV at all? When you first buy your TV or you go into the showroom, everything is on super bright because we are like moths. It's like, oh, it's bright. Right. Look at that one. That must be the best TV. And these modes are great for attracting people with these big displays and everything. But they're nowhere near accurate.
Gizwiz.
And then you spin the locks.
And a black.
Wow.
And you can, and nope. Do you know what the combination is on this?
I was just going to say, did you write down those numbers?
Oh, well, fortunately, just fell right off.
Twit, now with half the calories.
I don't have a black.
Doesn't seem like shocking.
That seemed like a house ad.
That was a house ad, yes.
Really?
Huh. I just have learned something because everybody, of course, being the geeks that this group is, brought out their phones. Except John. John just wandered off.
What's this?
Oh, no. Everybody brought out their phones and started doing stuff. Miss Joanna Stern has
four
phones with her. A BlackBerry, an iPhone, a Galaxy S4, and an HTC One.
She's lost two of them.
Do you carry all of them?
Yes.
Why?
Well, these two I've been carrying for a glass because only one of them pairs with Bluetooth. And it's kind of a mess.
And she likes to call herself every so often.
And this is
leave
for
a message.
Email. This is just the best phone on the market.
And the iPhone is your real phone.
Yeah. Is that enough? Not enough?
That's plenty.
You need more.
I need more.
One more phone.
You're not messing around.
You need like a...
Why don't you have a Windows phone?
You got to get that HTC One. That's a gorgeous phone that he's got there.
I've got one here, but this is exactly HTC.
She's got one.
I'm crazy.
She doesn't have the Lumia 928.
I'll
run over and get you
You need
one.
Like a burner so Prism can't listen to you. Yeah. Like a little Boost Mobile flippy thing.
I don't say anything that interesting, really.
It's not a revelation. The first thing Jason Bourne does when the girl gets in the car and she's being chased by the bad guys is take her phone and throw it out the window, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows this is the perfect spy device. It has a microphone, a camera, a GPS, an accelerometer. It even this one knows my armpit humidity. It knows everything about you. Yeah. So this, if you're carrying this, this is the NSA invented this practically.
Mm. Okay.
There's a conspiracy.
I didn't even listen to that.
You know what?
I saw a tweet today.
I have
today
a feeling
that's like,
HTC would be doing a lot better if the NSA made that phone.
I really like this.
Yeah. They'd be
unfortunately,
in business.
Yeah.
Yeah, would the NSA be better if they designed Sense 5?
Maybe.
I saw a tweet today. I don't know who it was from. It was just floating by, but it was... So the big revelation here is that we finally achieved the level of surveillance portrayed in every 80s and 90s movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's where we are. And I think that's why this story will be hard. That's why it will be hard to carry through. It will be hard to maintain interest in.
People will say,
because
but
it's
of course.
Part of it's part of the culture.
Of course.
Right?
We knew this.
I mean, the first, like, the third episode of Homeland is the dude trying to get a FISA warrant under the table.
Right.
I mean, like.
Yeah, he goes to the judge and blackmails him.
Yeah, and then the judge is like, cool.
Yeah, he's all right. Just don't say that thing. We never did find out what the thing was that the judge had done.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
So we're going to talk about tech news actually this week.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, you know what's tomorrow? WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference.
Really?
Apple will have some revelations. This panel, if anybody would know, Joanna and Neli, and I bet you Mike has some secret. Maybe even you, John, have some.
That's always some, a possibility.
Something in up his sleeve. Let's talk real quickly about Squarespace, and then we'll get to that. Squarespace.com, our web host and content management system combined, that is such a great solution for anybody who wants to create a website, whether you're a photographer. If you're trying to sell online, Squarespace now has e-commerce. That was kind of the last piece of the puzzle falling in. Squarespace, with their version 6, added mobile responsive design. So one template works no matter how big your screen is. It could be a little one, a big one, a laptop. The site automatically resizes. The sites are gorgeous. And their engineers are always, and designers, always working on new stuff. Squarespace just came up with a new template called Momentum. Full bleed, just gorgeous template. So if you're a photographer, you'll especially... That's the dog one, yeah. That's Momentum. Oh, is it gorgeous. This is the new thing now, really highlighting the photo, right? And the nice thing about Squarespace, the servers will never go down. They are the most robust, partly because of the tight integration between the software, this content management system, and the server software. Just really well done. I want you to try it. They've got the most liberal trial policy I've ever seen. Just go to squarespace.com. You don't have to give them a credit card or any information. Just an email address, the name of your site, and a password. And you've got 14 days with the run of the joint, plus 24/7 customer support. They even encourage people to use this two-week trial to just do some ad hoc sites. You know, you've got an event coming up. Create a site. Because they know once you start playing with this, this is going to set a new standard for what you want in your web host, in your web content management system. The e-commerce is great, too. Let's talk about the pricing real quickly, because it's you might think all of this might cost a lot of money. You can go in as low as $8 a month for an annual plan. I would recommend the unlimited plan. That's $16 a month when billed annually. Unlimited pages, unlimited galleries, unlimited blogs, unlimited bandwidth. You'll never get a bandwidth bill, even if, you know, Neli and Joanna both mention your site. And then Mike Elgin piles on. No bandwidth bill. Unlimited storage, which I love. Unlimited contributors. You could do The Verge for $16 a month. I bet you guys pay a little bit more than that for your servers. And then if you want to add e-commerce, for $24 a month when billed annually, fully integrated e-commerce with unlimited physical or digital products, or both. A mobile store, they include inventory tracking. They'll calculate taxes in all the jurisdictions. They'll help you with shipping. You even have coupon controls so you can instantly create coupons. And then all the other benefits of the unlimited plan. And, you know, the nice thing about buying an annual plan is they'll register a domain name for you for free and hook it up and do all of that work. Try Squarespace, 2 weeks free. If you decide that you do want to buy the site, pick the plan and then apply the offer code TWIT6 to take 10% off. That's why the annual plan would be the best deal. TWIT6, and try that e-commerce. I bet you everybody's got something to sell. Bet you there's something in you that you'd like to sell online. Squarespace.com. We thank them for their support. WWDC, you both are out here for WWDC. Mike, are you going to go to
WWDC? They don't let me in. They don't. Yeah. No. Yeah, no.
They haven't. Now, I was talking to Annie Anako. They seem to have a new policy where they don't send out invitations. You actually have to say, hey, I'd like to go. Or maybe if you have a history of going, they probably invite you guys. Yeah. But the Apple seems to have changed that a little bit. That you say, I'd like to go, and they say, okay.
I think with WWDC, there was never really like an official press.
There was invite. Never. Yeah, there was, well, the keynote was, and then they would throw you out immediately after the keynote and say, it's developers only from here on out.
Yeah.
And then the developers are all NDA. They can't talk about anything.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's the same.
Yeah. It's the same. I mean,
so Tim Cook will take the stage tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time. We'll be covering it live. I'm sure you'll be live blogging.
Yes.
You guys, what platform do you use for live blogging?
We built our own.
You built your own.
Mm. Everything, the whole all
after cover media. It live let you down.
Scribble.
That was the
one. And I'll be using Scribble tomorrow.
You're using Scribble.
Yeah.
Scribble Live actually fired us. We they went down, and then we tweeted, sorry, we're down. Scribble went down, and then they fired us.
Well, I'm hoping to stay up tomorrow.
So enjoy, Joanna. No, they're fine. They've gotten way better since then, I'm sure.
I like Scribble.
We built our own.
We used Scribble for a while, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what we do? We just sit here in the studio and read your guys' blog posts, and then we read them out loud. We do an enactment like, you know, Dutch Reagan, Ronald Reagan used to do. Yeah. And here comes Tim Cook.
Yeah. I think you should go to puppet
stage.
You
should do puppets. Some audio, no?
We did puppets last year.
Yeah, you guys used to have some really like, illegal back-channel
yeah,
audio
have calling in?
I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Although if the NSA wants to give us a feed, we'd be glad to take it.
I think I used to listen to the audio someplace. Yeah.
We get more we get more views from this stuff than anything else we did. With the Google I.O., 200,000 peak viewers.
Yeah.
It's people want to know this stuff.
And of course, there's a Microsoft press conference simultaneously.
Yep.
Yeah.
What we're going to talk about
by half an hour.
Yeah, Microsoft's going to have a little bit of splaining to do at this press conference. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But let's stick with the Apple topic. What do we think? Lots of rumors. We're certainly going to see iOS 7 and Mac OS 10.9.
Yeah.
Kitty cat.
When are they going to bring out a new Mac?
I think tomorrow.
Tomorrow
for sure.
Yeah. A new Mac, not a MacBook.
You mean a Pro?
Oh, a Pro.
I think there's a good shot we'll see not the Pro, but a Pro replacement tomorrow. That's the outside money that I'm looking for. Because we all know there'll be a new MacBook, 13-inch Retina display. I'm sure that'll happen with Haswell.
They'll have a Haswell
chipset. There is a Haswell Xeon, server-grade Haswell chip that Intel announced at Computex last week. So I think you're going to see them. But here's my prediction. It's not going to be a tower anymore. It'll be a modular device. So you'll have a CPU you can add via Thunderbolt. You could add another thing and another thing. You have drives or whatever. And it'll be modular. You could build your own stack. That's my prediction.
That'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I don't know if that's their thing.
I don't either.
That seems very customizable.
They're going to ride out that case they have.
Forever and ever. The cheese grater never dies.
Yeah. I don't think they have any.
It's been 2.5 years.
They
have
bigger problems. I think Johnny Ive has an entire operating system to redesign.
You're right. The last thing he wants to do is crank out 3D models for Tim.
Right. Yeah.
Tim, what about this? We'll make it look like a race car.
Yeah.
No. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I think tomorrow is actually much more make or break for Apple than...
Let's talk about that.
And probably break. I think it's going to be boring as hell. I think they're going to put us all to sleep. Tune into the Microsoft.
Now, wait a minute. Joanna doesn't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, I think this is going to be the biggest change we've ever seen to iOS, and I think there's... That no matter what, that's not going to be boring.
Besides...
Even if it is boring, that's not boring.
Besides,
I mean, maybe
flat
I'm just
design...
I think it'd be a different design. And
you know what's really interesting?
There's going to be cleanup to some of the major apps. And
I think they have to change the way some of it works.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, as much as we like to think that Apple exists in this hermetically sealed environment, they don't care about their competitors.
They do now.
Yeah.
They have a lot of competitors.
They absolutely do.
They know how the notifications work on Android. They know how it's tied to their cloud services.
They do because they stole it.
Yeah, they're aware. They didn't do a good enough job. If anything, they're just going to do a better job of stealing what Android has.
Right.
And I think they have to start competing in some of these areas.
I would agree. I think there's a great divide right here. The question we don't know, the answer... And I see the Apple believers who say, no, there's still magic in this company, and they're going to surprise us. Maybe, Joanna, you're one of them. They're going to blow us away. And then there are those of us who look at Apple and say, there's no evidence of that. There's no evidence, minus Steve Jobs, I don't see anybody saying, I have a great vision here. It ain't Tim Cook. He's a supply guy.
I mean, they have a lot of talent there.
Yeah.
I mean,
can Johnny – it's going to be Ive, if anybody –
Maybe.
It's definitely going to be him,
and
at
his,
least for this.
Staff
you think he's coming
designers.
Out?
Right. Yeah, he's got a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just not
he
him.
Talk? He never does talk, does he?
That is the big question.
They put him in a white room.
Who does the presentation?
It'll be Schiller.
Schiller for the...
It's always Schiller.
Yeah. Schiller's so bad.
Yeah.
If it's Schiller, then you know what? The early money is Schiller. Cook obviously starts. We've had a great year. The stores are doing fabulous.
Yeah.
We represent now 90 million iPhones sold. We represent 48% of the market in smartphones. We're profitable. We're doing great. We've got 100 billion in the apps.
We just had all these billion apps.
We know Maps was a problem, but we feel like we've really licked it.
Yeah.
And here's,
they like to laugh
ladies
at
and gentlemen,
tablets right
here's Phil Schiller to bring us down.
Well, it's not like Tim Cook rises you up.
Yeah, he's not.
But that's going to be the highlight.
He's a very
Schiller
man.
Does Mac usually.
Yeah,
obviously, who's done the iOS.
Yeah,
but now we.
Johnny Ive. If Johnny Ive comes out,
I would definitely
stop typing and just completely pay attention.
Of the rich and elegant.
Yeah, he's not. It's not going to be Ive.
It's not going to be Ive. He's shy.
He's very shy.
He's a sir.
Who is the.
He's a sir and he's shy? That's weird.
There's a new head of iOS development. It's all under one guy now.
Yeah.
OS 10 iOS.
The guy's name.
I don't remember who it is.
Chatroom will tell us.
Chatroom will tell us.
The problem
10, 9, 8, 7, 6,
yeah, that's the problem.
Seven,
there's about 30-second lag.
That's
so
no good.
It isn't any good.
I think the dark horse for excitement.
Craig Federighi. They told us. Yep.
I agree with you.
The trick is not to point at the chat room. Go,
Craig, they know what they did.
You're supposed to just pretend you know.
Oh, it came
Leo's
to me.
Leo's old trick is.
Federighi.
My Prism implant told me.
So I think you're right. I think that anything that is exciting is going to be in the area of software and services. It's not going to be hardware. They're not going to launch anything in the terms of hardware that's going to make everybody go, wow.
Services are so bad.
Well, but that's the thing. What if, I think the dark horse for an exciting announcement will be something around Siri. Because Siri has been sort of like in cruise control for 2 years or something like that.
And is being, frankly, lapped by Google Voice.
Yes. So I would love to see Siri get some really awesome new capabilities.
Won't happen.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot they can do with agency. They actually took away some of the things that Siri could do when they launched it. You used to be able to buy all kinds of stuff.
You could reserve dinners.
And they were on the brink of lots of stuff. And it was going to be this thing to go out and buy things for you. So now I'd like to see some of that come back. That would be pretty awesome, and they may also bring it to the desktop. So,
and I think that we will see, there will be new hardware. I think that we're almost certain to see
there will be new hardware. But
I'm predicting that Apple TV will be rolled out as a major surprise.
That would be a huge
surprise. That's not going to happen.
Definitely not going to happen.
If it happens, I'm going.
That's what I'm saying. John knows that if you predict the most outrageous thing, and he's right, you can coast on that for years.
Yeah, definitely going to coast on that.
He said there'd be a TV.
I mean, the number one thing I want in iOS is to be able to hide some icons. So I'm pretty sure maybe I'm going to be pretty happy, but I don't know.
Okay, you're using a BlackBerry, two Android phones,
phone right now is an iPhone. Actually.
You don't, when you leave your HTC One and your Galaxy S4 and go back to the iPhone, you don't feel, gosh, there's something missing.
I switched from Android to the iPhone a couple months ago.
It feels a little old-fashioned.
Yeah,
very.
I went the other way. What everyone was going.
You
this
like
way,
just
the
plain
way.
Old grid of icons, and
why don't you go to?
You know, I don't love that. I miss a lot of things about Android daily. Number one is definitely the customization options, Google services, the integration there.
Google
Every
now.
Time I try and use Google Now or Gmail on my iPhone, I want to cry.
Yeah.
But like.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other things.
So why the hell are you using the iPhone?
My Android phone is constantly.
Yeah, really.
No, it doesn't make me cry. I mean, there's a lot of. First of all, one of the main reasons I went to iPhone was I wanted to test most of the apps that were coming there. I mean, the app lead.
That's where it is. Yeah.
The app lead is huge, especially in what we do.
Oh, Vine is out now. Yeah,
but there's going to be something else. And then is that going to first come to the iPhone? And I think also that's a big thing to happen tomorrow, right?
Right.
Is that continuing to
exclusives,
right? And to focus on the developers and the fact that
they did say they asked Tim Cook, "Will you allow people to customize the iPhone?"
Right.
And he's like, "Yep, we're going to start opening it up."
It's tricky because that's a challenge.
It's a technical challenge.
Yeah. How about
Android phones get very slow. I've owned three Android phones, and after about a year in, they always slow down.
Really?
And no matter what I do, and people will now be tweeting to me right now. They'll all saying, why don't you put on this custom ROM?
Right.
Why didn't you go to CyanogenMod, whatever that thing is called? Did I say that right?
CyanogenMod.
Yeah, that one.
CyanogMod.
CyanogenMod.
Off-brand.
CyanogenMod. That's a separate one that you guys all don't know about.
It's the Kobe
I don't want to do that.
ROMs.
I never have a phone that long, so I don't know.
So I'm actually at a crossroads. I'm hoping iOS 7 is really awesome, and I'm going to keep my iPhone. But if not, I'm going to get the HTC One with the stock Android.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to get that anyway.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what Apple should do is if Apple's going to release an iWatch this year, and they're planning to do it in the fall, which I think, just before the holidays, they should announce it now. Get developers working on apps so that when they release it in fall, there's a ton of cool apps. Everybody knows they're working on one. I mean, I think that's the consensus.
Yeah.
And so it's not a surprise. Everybody kind of knows what it's going to be. So announce it, let people develop for it. And when it comes out, we have really cool Mickey Mouse watch faces.
I mean,
that's never been Apple's way.
Right?
I know.
And I will also say on their last,
I love that though.
On their last, I think, financial call, Cook was like, we have great products coming out in the fall.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
I mean, it's clear of an indication as anything that
that's going to be.
We'll see some new laptops tomorrow.
Consumer products are fall.
Yeah, maybe they'll tweak the Air cuz they put a new processor in it.
Right.
I would love to see an Air with a Retina display.
You won't I don't think you'll see that. I think you will see Haswell. I don't know why, but I just feel like it's going to be a third, but the 13-inch if it's thin enough will be air enough.
Yeah, I think those things come together at some point, right?
Yeah, they're merging.
The current 13-inch Retina, I think, is slow.
Yeah, it is. Haswell might make a difference.
Yeah.
The other, of course, probable release is iRadio or whatever they're going to call their radio service. This is a crowded market. You've got Spotify, Pandora. You've got Google in it now with All Access. What could they do that would make them stand out?
They could be Apple.
I don't know what they could do to make them stand out from the competition, but what's really interesting about it to me is that the rumors are that it's going to be advertising supported, which is a really un-Apple.
Free.
free and advertiser supported. So that's a really that's a Google strategy. Really? I mean, it's like Apple's.
Yeah, Google's charging. Google's charging what Spotify charges.
Well, so the difference is, and I think that Google doesn't have what Apple has. Spotify doesn't have what Apple has, right? Mm-hmm. Apple has this like vibrant purchase music retail store. It's got iTunes, which is utterly dominant. And but I don't think if you're Apple, you don't want to. And Google and Spotify and RDO and all those companies, they have to prove that their access model works, right? That you can take all the revenue that you've lost from piracy, you can charge people $8, figure out some percent stream, and everybody gets paid and everybody gets rich.
Yep.
That is not proven.
But
it's great as a consumer, it's proven that this is awesome. As a business model, it's definitely not proven.
But that's the key to understanding, to answer your question, what they're going to do to set themselves apart. I think that their iRadio thing will be based on your existing music that's sitting in iTunes.
Yeah.
And they'll probably do something where you have radio stations around the things you own.
Well, that's what Google does.
They show you other stuff and then they upsell
you. That's what Google All Access is doing.
Exactly.
They already have
it. But they don't have iTunes.
But they don't have... Well,
like, I hadn't bought a lot of stuff from Google.
iTunes might be a curse and a blessing.
Well, yeah. iTunes is...
Do you want to live in iTunes?
Listen to your music? The next chapter of the innovator's dilemma is about iTunes, right? I mean, how do you kill the most successful retail music product that has existed online?
And it desperately needs to be updated.
I mean, it desperately needs, but it's also still massively successful.
Right.
You and I need to update it because we've moved on. But there's a huge audience. I reviewed the iPod Nano when it came out, the new one. And I was like, this thing is a piece of junk. I don't ever want to manage files again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the amount of hate mail that I received.
But I love my
But I love iTunes. I'm still completely into it. This is the right product for so many people.
I think it's so funny because we will say, as you did, and I did, and Neil, I did, it's junk. We don't like iTunes. And people will go, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right.
There are some people out there.
iTunes is one of
there are people out there that can't use it at all. They can't figure it out. It's crazy.
I don't see them doing web for this.
Yeah.
I don't think they will say we don't have to do web for this. They're going to have the apps for the – I mean, they probably will not have an Android app, but they'll have an iPhone app in your iTunes store. They'll have
– So they won't put it in iTunes in the existing app. They'll put a separate – iRadio
I think
app.
Either they'll update that or they'll have a separate app that's
I mean, like,
into
if
it.
You look at the way Apple's going, they'll bundle it into desktop iTunes.
Right.
Or to make that more of a mess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they'll build a separate radio app.
Because they already
the
have podcasts separate.
Right.
Books are separate.
Right.
Yeah.
How are the podcast and the radio thing going to work together? They're going to start, like, you're mostly streaming all the time.
Yeah.
There's other podcasts that do that.
Well, we are, you know, right now, iTunes does have a, nobody knows it, but there's a radio section on iTunes, and you can listen to us in the radio section, along with a handful of
I had
of
no
other,
idea.
Right. Yeah. People don't generally know that. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll look forward to it tomorrow. Microsoft is going to have some things to say tomorrow. Sony, too. E3 begins.
Yeah, tomorrow's a ridiculous day.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in just a second. The sad story of OMG Pop, just up the street from you guys. I'm just making that up.
Get some
all
Kleenex.
Of New York's pretty close,
yeah,
right?
It's real.
All, it's a small little island.
It's just one train, really.
Yeah. And more coming up. Vine is on. Oh, I forgot Waze. Another
Waze.
Big story.
We used Waze to
we
get
used
here.
Waze here.
Isn't Waze the
bestest?
About
halfway through, I decided
actually,
I
don't
like it. Pulled out my Android phone and used Google Maps.
So I was actually tweeting during the show about Waze, and somebody said, "Oh, you're tweeting during the show about this." But I'm sorry. I did because there's these rumors about
commercial.
Google.
Right.
It was during commercial,
right.
And
chocolate.
I'm scared. I'm really scared. I have.
Well, I wrote a couple columns about this because I think something happened to Google because they're very secretive. You don't know what's in the back end of any of these things.
Right.
I think their whole navigation system was leased from somebody and they took it back because I have been the navigation of late. They're telling me to make U-turns. They never used to do that. They won't route me around traffic anymore.
Maybe it's you,
and
John.
I've,
maybe you're driving.
No, it's not it at all. And I asked the press at Google and they would refuse to discuss this.
Oh.
And now that they're talking about maybe buying
That's
Waze,
interesting.
I'm thinking why would – obviously they're buying Waze because whatever they had is gone. And my original column was the time I was one-on-one with some guy with the new Apple navigation and my Google, and he beat me. The routing was much superior.
Right. Hmm.
There's something up with this with the Google
that
navigator.
Was in Silicon Valley though, where you would expect Apple to do well.
Google's there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's take a break. Let's talk about that. But first, a word from Stamps.com. If you are doing any mailing in your business at all, you know, you're probably noticing that there are some companies that seem to have this fulfillment thing down. Professional-looking envelopes, packages. They always seem to have the right postage. No handwritten addresses on there. They're probably using stamps.com. It is a small business dream. It lets you buy and print official U.S. postage on demand 24/7 with your computer, your printer. It, you get a... Actually, I should have it right here. I'm always weighing my mail while we're doing the show. I have the USB scale, so you never have the... Yes, go ahead. Get a picture of that. You never have the wrong postage. And it's great. They'll even suggest the right class of mail for you based on what you're trying to mail. So it makes it so easy. If you're doing international mailing, stamps.com fills out the forms. If you are selling on eBay or Amazon or PayPal or Etsy, if you're sending out QuickBooks invoices, all of that just goes right into the software so you never have to write out an address by hand. Stamps.com is fabulous. I want you to try it right now. We have a no-risk trial offer. On the front page, they got an $80 offer that includes that scale, but I that's not such a good deal. I can
do
better.
And John says it's safer.
It's what? Mm-hmm. It's safer?
To send.
Well, it is. In fact, you know, the post office, after 9/11, the post office said if you're going to mail a package heavier than 13 ounces, you got to come down so we can scope you out. We can check you out. But not with stamps.com because the Indicia system that they use is identifier that any size package at all, they come and they'll get it. You don't have to, you literally don't have to go to the post office. You don't have to get a postage meter. You don't have to charge it or anything. It really is the right way to do mailing. Not if you got just a Christmas card list once a year, but if you are in the business where you have to do mailing as we do, stamps.com is great. We send you a check every couple of years, right?
Yeah, 18 months.
Look on the envelope, you'll see the TWIT logo, the stamps.
And why don't you fancy that up a little bit?
We should fancy that up.
Yeah.
Because we're going, you know what? The world is coming to us. We did flat design before anybody else.
Exactly.
That
now
TWIT guy is not
3D. Go 3D.
I should.
Yeah.
I should like make him out of felt.
That would be good.
Yeah, and have he could have like an aluminum eye.
Yeah, some touchy-feely.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
I think so.
We can do that with stamps.com. It's very simple. Put it right on the envelope. Here's the deal. Go to stamps.com. Don't take the front page offer. Click the microphone up in the right-hand corner there. And offer code is TWIT, and that'll turn the $80 bonus value to $110 bonus value, including $55 in free postage that you can use over the first few months of your account. $55 in free postage. You get the scale. You just pay shipping and handling. It's about $5. And by the way, you can cancel anytime that scale is yours anyway. You get to keep that. You also get a kit of, you know, stamps and stuff. I actually come in here when I need stamps. I don't go to the post office. I come here and I say, Frederick, print me some stamps. It feels kind of like...
So you're using the
IRS?
You are. This is personal use.
No, it's not for personal use.
Print me some 20s, too, while you're at it.
It's like
whenever
that.
I do my personal business mailing.
It feels like that. Print me some stamps.
It's very Arrested Development.
I need some stamps.
Right. It is. I also drive a stair car. The TWIT stair car. Stamps.com. Use the offer code TWIT for a $110 bonus offer. You're going to love it. Stamps. .com. I haven't seen the new Netflix Arrested Development. So that is good.
It's real weird. But I'm about halfway through.
It's weird.
It's weird.
Why is it weird?
But you got to like this strategy. House of Cards amazing.
Well, House of Cards made sense, right? Because they made all of it at once.
Right.
Arrested Development, they only focus on one character per episode. So the thing that makes Arrested Development cool
is the ensemble.
Yeah, it's not all there all the time.
So like there's a Tobias Funky episode?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's like two of them, actually. There's some like real great moments.
They probably couldn't get the actors all together at the same time.
And they did some weird green screening.
And then they look old?
They look older.
Because it's like 6 years later.
Yeah, different makeup.
Yeah.
The makeup has changed,
the kid who
too.
Plays Anyang is different. Like, he's like really tall.
Anyang grew up?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he's still there. Anyang!
It's weird. It's cool. You should watch it if you have Netflix. It's free.
Yeah. No, it's free.
But it's not House of Cards.
Game of Thrones last episode tonight. Everybody's dead. It's going to be
good.
It's going to be very quiet.
I hope they kill the show while they're at it.
Spoiler alert.
somebody tweeted, you know why George R.R. Martin's not on Twitter? He killed 140 characters.
That's good.
Whoa.
Wow. The two glass guys, they laughed.
They're watching.
They got other jokes.
They don't even care about the show. They've been giving up on the show like hours
ago. So Waze, $1.3 billion. That's the rumor coming from a reliable source, Globes, which I checked with some Israeli viewers. I said, is that trustworthy? They said, oh, no, that's very trustworthy.
And All Things D is corroborating now.
Yeah, they just say, we read it in Globes. But
they're actually have
they
some
say
reporting.
Our sources say that.
Yeah, and their reporting also says that Google's going to keep it independent, which I'm very happy to hear.
Well, the story is the Globe story was
that
Apple only offered them $500 million. And so that was in January. Mm-hmm. So they said, we're worth more than half a billion. Then Facebook comes in, offers them a billion, but wants to move them to Silicon Valley.
Right, right.
And these are Israeli developers. And they said, no, we're not going to move. So Google gives them everything they want. $1.3 billion. You're going to have complete autonomy. Google's demonstrated. Facebook's never done that.
Yeah.
Google's demonstrated they could do that with YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've killed some other things.
Why? But YouTube is like a different class of acquisition, right? Google had Google Video, and they bought YouTube, right. And everyone's like, well, you should definitely get rid of Google Video. Nobody's saying you should get rid of Google Maps.
No.
I think there's
presumably going to be not a replacement for Google Maps.
Yeah.
This won't be a replacement, but...
And by the way, the chat room agrees with me.
What makes Waze great? It's the...
I don't know.
Community.
Yes,
community.
You do know. We use it on the way here.
Yeah, I got a whole...
It's great for spotting cops.
We use it here. We had two phones going side by side, and Waze was telling us more about traffic. It was telling more about the people ahead of us were telling us about what was coming up.
Yeah. There's stuff in the road. I always hit it. And now with Waze, I never hit it.
What?
What?
My homicide rate has completely fallen since I started using Waze.
We live in an area.
You used to hit stuff
all the time. We live in an area where gardeners load up their truck with ladders and lawnmowers and rakes, and invariably it blows off the truck. And I swear to God, if I hit him every time. They're in the middle of the road. I don't want to swerve.
Well, that's the problem if you don't want to swerve.
I don't know what's behind me. I'm not paying attention. I go, what? Oh, crap. By the time I notice it, I've hit it. But with Waze,
right.
I have lots of time.
With Waze, I'm looking at my smartphone while I drive.
It's too bad they're not
that's
a sponsor.
The
that would have been
Waze
a great
that
commercial.
Me. I don't like using Waze.
I know where he's going with
because
this.
Unless you have
you've
a navigator.
I mean,
no, you
I've done
drive.
This.
You're a New Yorker. You
I've
don't
done
know
this when yeah. well, I was telling him on the, like, a lot of people will say, you know, there's a car pulled over 10 feet ahead or whatever it is. And it's usually accurate. You know, and it gives you all this information about... There's a cop up ahead, slow down.
And then it says, was it there or was it not?
Right,
and you respond.
You tell it.
No, you're supposed to be driving.
No, you do it all by voice.
Okay, sure.
You can actually wave your hand over the phone.
Yeah, it's still distracting.
And they say, report traffic incident.
I think you've got two people in the car and one person on the Waze machine. I think that's fine.
No, she was my Waze operator.
Yeah, she's the navigator.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And I asked the CEO a couple months ago, and they're apparently working with car manufacturers and other things. I mean, who knows now with what will happen with Google. But I think what Google's after is that social stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Is obviously figuring out the algorithms that they have, putting that into their back end. I mean, what I love about Waze, though, is that I'm completely anonymous, that I don't have my Facebook account hooked up.
I do. You don't want that?
I don't know. I don't want that because I don't want people on the road to know, like,
there she is. Let's get her.
Right.
Yeah. My car.
Do you know how many people would be in Petaluma right now?
My car says Twit on it. I mean, it's not like I'm, you know.
Yeah.
But
what do you think people think when they see that?
Acquisition.
A lot of times they go, up yours, Twit. No. Very frequently.
It's because you keep hitting gardeners.
Not the gardeners, just the rakes. People will parallel me. And they'll go, hi, thumbs up all the time. All the time.
Here in Petaluma?
Do you drive
everywhere.
That much?
Not that much.
There's a lot of churches here in Petaluma, we noticed this.
But we're a very, very devout area.
Town's from 1850, so you have a lot.
Yeah, no, this is called, you see, you guys.
And there's the Open Door Church, which has an open door.
The door's open. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Walk right in.
Yep. Well, most churches.
They also have a back door, thanks to Prism. There we go again.
So I think they said 47 million people use Waze. 47 million is not a huge community compared to, say, Instagram or Facebook, but it's a good number. In 100, and this is what I thought interesting, 193 countries.
Yep.
So there's a lot, but there's a lot of room for growth as well. I mean, I think this is a great acquisition for Google to make.
Yeah.
Well,
I
was just happy
somebody
finally bought Waze because I'm extremely tired of hitting. Rumors.
Gardeners. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that never gets old, clearly. Now with Waze, I'm getting more gardeners.
And somebody in the chat room
before.
Said, well, how do they make money? And that's the only thing I don't like about Waze, because you'll stop at a stoplight and then ads will start to. You get alerts and
then
you
get ads. I was telling him about that.
That's
I was like, do you
want to
go eat here?
I would say that was annoying.
And he was saying, no, we have to get to Twit.
It's a little annoying.
I wanted to be a half an hour late, even over the hour that we were.
Where, you wanted to stop at IHOP?
Yeah.
I think it told us Taco Bell was near.
Mm-hmm. Don't
oh, really?
Stop at Taco Bell.
Is it T-Bell?
They make crap out of Doritos. There's good Mexican food here.
Yeah.
I'll take you guys out after the show. I'll show you where the good stuff is. All right. So we're agreed this is going to happen, and it's a good thing. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
And worth the money, I
think worth the money.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. At I.O., Google made – I think the story of I.O. was Google made really strong showing of power, right? About their services, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they especially with maps.
They showed unification that they hadn't showed before.
They also were like, check out our cool Android education project. And then another guy came out. He's like, check out our cool Chrome OS education
project.
All
right, yeah, you're right.
I mean, they're better than usual, but it wasn't complete. But with maps especially, they really, I mean, they know that Apple's building maps. They know they need the credibility in iOS. They know that they lost that platform.
You're such a f***er. You're such a bad, bad man.
What?
Nothing.
Trust me. Are you thoroughly refreshed?
Yes.
Good.
Thanks for asking.
No, but I think this is I mean, in the past, Google's looked like 100 different companies. They really started to look a lot
more
like.
But particularly when they did the maps presentation.
Very powerful.
They were like, we have the best maps.
And I think the message was, you can't catch up with us. Right. Not merely that you can't compete now.
And we're moving forward.
That's where I wonder why Apple didn't buy them. But apparently they said they didn't want them.
They didn't have enough money.
Yeah.
Oh, Apple's. Yeah, right. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well,
Apple's got so much money.
Hold on to that money.
What are they going to do with this?
Yeah.
They're building a beautiful, beautiful facility.
I do like the one aspect of Google Maps, which is the street view of everything.
Yeah.
And now they apparently sent some guys down the Matterhorn.
Yeah.
And took pictures of everything.
Yeah, and Grand Canyon.
But see, that's the cool thing. Waze does not have that great graphical display. So I think you merge.
Yeah.
The Google Street View, the satellite view, map view. And then Waze back end, you got something.
Right.
I think you got something special.
I think there'll be a lot of people outcrying on privacy and stuff like that, but we'll get by.
What's fascinating about maps and how it relates to where Google is at is they've been laying a lot of groundwork for things that almost happen by themselves in the future. So maps...
That's what I feel
so
like.
So what they're doing with maps is they're creating a virtual version of the entire Earth that just keeps getting more detailed and more accurate and more responsive.
They got into North Korea.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
And so, if you
they're under
look
the sea,
at the
they're
future
everywhere.
Of maps, 5 years, 10 years from now, it's going to be like the Matrix. You're going to be able to go into this
totally
thing.
Right.
It's going to be the real world.
They're in this studio, I think, aren't they still?
Yeah.
Well, we did it. Yeah,
you can
do a 3D view. You can
doing.
Do a walkthrough. Well, that's going to be interesting. And that is maybe the secret agenda of Glass.
It's a hoax, which I still like.
Well, it's overlaying that on top of it.
Well, we're going to have a lot of pictures from today, I think. There it is. That's our for those of you watching on video. Wow. That's our 3D walkthrough.
Where's the guy that's sitting behind the desk all the time?
That's Max Trollbot sitting behind the desk. There's some. This has quite a few Easter eggs in it. My staff thought it'd be fun to prank them.
You don't want to prank Google. I think that's a bad idea.
You know what? This isn't Google. It's a third party that you pay to do this, and then he's a registered developer with Google, and he gets it on there. Yeah, he drops it in.
Some double people in here. Stuff
well,
like that.
You could tell the camera hounds. They show up 3 or 4 times. Yeah,
that's great.
And then, it's kind of fun. So Microsoft has actually had a little bit of trouble of late, and I'd be very curious if they're going to address tomorrow some of the problems. For instance, it looks like, despite their protestations to the contrary, their used games are going to be problematic.
Yeah.
On the Xbox.
Yeah, so I think Microsoft and Sony, they're going to switch places tomorrow. So, you know, Sony launched the PS4, and it was like 2 hours of game demos.
Right.
And they didn't even show the console.
Right.
Microsoft launched the Xbox One, and it was all about the console and, like, living room and Kinect and, like, no games. I think tomorrow you'll see Microsoft do games, and you'll see Sony talk about the console in the living room. But this used game stuff for, I think, both platforms, it will be a story, but... They're saying they're going to allow some used game sales if the publishers agree. They're saying that it only has to connect once every 24 hours. There's a lot of detail to fill in there, and I don't know if any of that detail is going to be filled out until they start shipping the thing.
You don't think they'll respond to a criticism? From
I think
gamers.
Tomorrow they're going to show. It's E3. They're going to show a bunch
games.
Of people getting killed in the future.
Yeah. Call of Duty. Yeah. Call of Duty.
Yeah,
Call
and that, Duty. I mean that's what they do, and they have a lot to prove there. I think I think they left a lot of questions unanswered about what the games are going to look like. And Sony, I mean, has to show us what. The
well, if you're going to show
like.
Games, you show them at E3. You don't need to show them at an event at another time. All right. We'll watch with interest. It's too bad it overlaps with Apple. What we're going to do, we're going to have.
Well, it starts before.
Yeah, only half an hour before though.
Yeah, but
they won't be done. Yeah. Oh, they will. You know what? They might be done before Tim Cook is done with his like. Look, all the money we made this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. It's gonna be rough.
It's gonna be well. We've got a team. We're gonna have Glenn Rubenstein covering the Xbox stuff. And then we'll be doing another team over here, and we'll interrupt each other. I was thinking of doing left ear and right ear, like stereo, like Microsoft in one ear. But I think we'll probably, or, you know, a split screen. But
you could do it.
I think you should do the video for one and the audio for the other.
That's perfect.
That makes sense.
And I bet you most people wouldn't even know the difference.
The hell out of people.
No.
Well, the Microsoft audio will be full of explosions.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so you, so definitely use the Microsoft
audio. Yeah, you should definitely use them. It'll be very exciting.
and Apple.
Poor app developers come on stage.
Yeah, we might try that.
That's great.
Let's do it. We'll do a mix, a mashup. All right, that's a good idea. So talk about bad acquisitions. OMG Pop, Zynga bought them, what, $180 million a year ago at the peak, of the success of that
app. That's the way to do it.
And now, a year later, they shuttered the New York office and laid off everybody who worked at OMG Pop.
Aww.
And who were apparently very happy to be laid off. Yeah. They were, well, they're rich and they were being ignored.
Yeah. That's the way it works.
I mean, Zynga is a... They got to figure out what their business looks like.
But this is stupid because Zynga's problem was that they were Facebook gaming and they wanted to get into mobile. They bought OMG Pop because this is their new strategy. So meanwhile, they kill all the mobile developers.
Yeah.
And say Farmville 2, it's going to be good. It is good. I think that this is, I would not invest in this company right now.
Yeah.
Stocks in the tank, I think.
Yeah. Well, it already has, right? Well, Facebook is going to webcast its first ever stockholder meeting June 11th. So there's another thing.
It's going to
we
be
can
exciting.
Watch this week.
It's going to be exciting.
You know, stockholder meetings aren't that exciting, are they?
No.
No.
Well, this one in particular has got to be a schnoozer.
Yeah.
Do you don't think there'll be irate people saying, where's our money? No?
No.
That's all over now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're going to elect board members. the members seeking election are Mark Zuckerberg. I think he's a shoo-in.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He's got those matinee idol looks. Sheryl Sandberg, she probably has a chance. I don't know who Donald Graham is. Mark Andreessen, Erskine Bowles.
Erskine Bowles. Isn't he a baseball player?
No, wasn't he like Nixon's speechwriter or something? Erskine Bowles.
Name rings a bell. Let me go check it out.
I have the feeling he's not either of those.
No, Erskine Bowles is. All right, let's.
Who's Erskine Bowles?
You know what I should do is I can do my special Google voice search.
Try Facebook
I've been loving
search.
Watching you on Dell XPS, by the way.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, the Dell XPS, you seem to navigate.
My Linux box.
Is that Linux?
Yeah.
It's funny because you're just running Chrome.
Who is Erskine Bowles?
That did not work well at all.
Who is Erskine Bowles?
That did not happen for you.
What was it? Her skin bowls. That would be right.
Let me try that again. Shh, everybody quiet. That's what's wrong with all these voice interfaces.
Wrong.
Who is Erskine Bowles?
That's
what they come out at. Same thing. Her skin. So the Erskine can now be heard by Google.
So if your name is Erskine, you're out of luck.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Wow.
So that's how you assure your kid's privacy in the future.
Name him Erskine.
Name him Erskine.
He is an American businessman and political figure from North Carolina. Serves as the president of University of North Carolina. He was White House chief of staff in 1997. So he's a Clintonian.
Yeah.
Clinton man.
Well, look, you got Al Gore on the Apple board. You got to get somebody.
You got to get somebody from government. And if they don't say it government, you teach them to say government.
He's from North Carolina.
Peter Thiel. It's just a bunch of rich people. I hate that. Yeah. Why don't they ever put a poor person on the board?
Because that would make them rich.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's the new lottery. You get to be on Facebook Sports for a year.
That's what I'm talking about. So Amazon has killed bookstores. They've killed record stores. Now they want to kill grocery stores.
Yep.
Would you buy groceries, fresh produce, from Amazon.com?
Are they going to charge? Call it Web Van 2? Peapod was from up there.
Peapod. According to Reuters, Amazon's ready to expand its, get ready, Amazon Fresh delivery service.
Do you guys not have grocery delivery here? Is this a New York thing? Because the population density is too small. Yeah. In New York, everybody has Fresh Direct, and it works really well.
Do they come to your door?
I haven't.
No, Safeway does that still.
No,
here.
Actually, most of the big chains.
Most of the chains do it.
If you ask them.
And isn't Google testing it here too?
Really? Google? What are they going to deliver?
Yeah, Google
search results.
They just
hot, piping, and fresh.
Here's your Erskine search.
We heard you were looking for Erskine bowls.
Right.
3 days.
Telegram. A couple of bowls of skin.
Right.
Yes, the skin bowls you were looking for. They're made of skin. Right.
Google Shopping Express.
I thought they were testing here.
I'm not buying produce from Google.
Yeah.
Amazon Fresh goes to Los Angeles, San Francisco this year. 20 new markets in 2014.
Yeah.
Actually, the Bay Area has something called Instacart, which is doing the same thing. What was the one, the guys were on bicycles, they bring you ice cream and cigs and smokes. Remember that?
Oh, they would deliver anything,
Scream
right?
and smoke. Yeah. I don't know the name
of it. No, that's from the Z.
Yeah, it was a flop because it turned out to be very expensive to deliver people ice cream and smokes.
I would think.
Yeah. Not much profit. Cosmo, thank you. See, the chat room
But it had a Z
good.
In it, right? It was yeah, KZ. Cosmo. Yeah. I knew there was a Z and that was a mistake.
Nothing is new on the internet.
Yeah. But no, ideas were bad. There's no reason. My wife and I are already buying our groceries from Fresh Direct.
We just
move everything else to Amazon.
You don't enjoy shopping, so there's no reason to do that.
We just do all our shopping on Amazon.
You'll add it to your Prime. It'll be insane.
Actually a bit cool, huh?
Yeah.
And I'll get my groceries in a day and a half.
Probably.
Sorry about the milk.
Well, Amazon's already testing same day.
Right. That'd be weird to go to Target to get my groceries.
Yeah.
Be in a lockbox. All my groceries being in a lockbox at the Citgo's gas station. Our show today brought to you by Carbonite.com, online backup done right, automatic, continuous. And the best part is $59 a year for everything on your computer. That's less than $5 a month. If you're a small business, even a big business, backup is very important. I think a lot of businesses do not pay enough attention to this. What would happen if your building, if this building burned down, all the computers with it, all the backups stored next to the computer with it, you'd be out of business. It wouldn't be a matter of weeks, months. You'd be out of business if you didn't know who your customers were, you didn't know what you needed to do. Carbonite solves that problem. Offsite backup for small business, very affordable, flat rate, unlimited backup. They have plans for pretty much every size enterprise, including just, you know, home backup, $59 for that laptop or desktop computer, PC or Mac. If you run a small business, they'll back up all your computers, servers, external hard drives, all of that for one low flat monthly rate. You don't have to figure out how much data you have. They're stored safely off-site where you can access them anytime if you have a disaster, but even not if you just want to look at them. The cloud storage means you can use your smartphone or your tablet or your computer, log on to your Carbonite account, get your stuff, email stuff from your Carbonite account. Now, here's something in this in the day and age of Prism. I know what you're thinking. Not just you, but the NSA can get your stuff. Well, here's the good news. Carbonite is one of the few backup, in fact, as far as I know, the only backup service that has trust no one encryption built in. You hold the key. Carbonite does not hold the key. No one else holds the key. NSA does not have access. It's strong encryption, and only you can access it. True privacy, too. Back it up with Carbonite, automatic, continuous, off-site. You can try it free for 2 weeks. You do not need a credit card. Just use our offer code TWIT. You decide to buy, they'll give you 14 months for the price of 12. Carbonite.com, the best way to back up. So the good news in the patent troll world is that EFF has raised a ton of money to go after that bad podcast patent, which we're all worried a little bit about. President Obama has said we're going to do an executive order to fight patent trolls. He's asked Congress to do the same. Is this real?
This is, it's really, I mean, how much of a nerd do you want me to be?
Be nerdy.
It's really wild that this is all happening. The EFF stuff is great.
Yeah, right? And that's
very normal.
That's the Mark Cuban chair against stupid patents. Yeah. And Julie Samuels, she's great.
She's great, yeah.
But for the president.
Right, so what's wild about this is that we just passed the AIA, the American Invents Act, and everybody who talked about it afterwards said there's no more political capital to do this again.
We've done enough.
It took a decade. The guy who's in charge, David Kapos, who's head of the patent office, was like, I'm done. I passed it. I'm out of here. He like blazed out of town early, and now we're back. And the thing about it is the solutions proposed are the solutions. Like, everybody has known that they're
really?
The solutions for a long time.
Because you and I have talked a lot about this and what needs to be done. You feel like these are good proposals if they're passed.
Well, if they're passed and if they're very vague right now. I mean,
right.
the two are, one, if you're a patent troll, you have to disclose who's really going to make money off your lawsuit, which is kind of like the name and shame.
Right.
Everybody's wanted that for a long time. And the second one is functional claiming, which is kind of the software patent solution, right, which is you can't just patent like button plus internet is a new device, right? Mm-hmm. You have to make something. You have to make something new, and that's great. And that's like, you know, it solves all the problems. Everybody's discussed the solutions that way, but the reality is Congress still has to pass a law.
Right.
The courts have to interpret it.
the executive orders for the patent office need to be fleshed out into what they mean. So there's a long way to go. What's crazy is that it's even happening in this moment, and nobody expected it to happen.
This does nothing for the Apple versus Samsung kinds of legitimate patent battles. Those are legitimate. There's actual products. This is non-practicing entities. People who are not actually making
So the new acronym, it's apparently we've gone, I don't know when this happened. Everybody had a meeting and didn't tell me. We've gone from NPE, non-practicing entity, to patent assertion entity, PAE. I don't know why, just what we're going to do.
And the other thing that's interesting is that
we're all wearing blue shoes
tomorrow. Is using the phrase patent troll now.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, they're picking
up. And I credit Limor Fried, Lady Ada, because it was a hangout, and I don't know if this really is what precipitated it, but it sure feels like it, with President Obama some months ago, where she said, what are you going to do about patent trolls? She runs Adafruit, which is a wonderful site everybody should visit if you're interested in making and projects and so forth. What are you going to do about patent trolls? And he said, well, it's not right. We're going to do something about it.
Yeah.
And now a few months
and
later.
I think the government has heard Silicon Valley complain loudly about this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the political capital is coming from. But nobody expected it to happen anytime soon. But they've got a... This is another 5 years of arguing ahead of.
And Ars Technica calls this the good news for tech law reporters section. So you should be jumping up and down. The White House wants patent demand letters to be made public.
Yep.
Incentivizing public filing of demand letters in a way that makes them accessible and searchable to the public. So you'll know who's asking what of whom.
Yeah. I mean, you've built an industry about it. You know, and the AIA backfired in a really significant way, right? Which is, and I don't know why they thought this would work, but... They said in the American Invents Act, they prohibited me having a patent and filing all of you at once. Mm-hmm.
So class action, trolls, kind of class action suits.
It was just multiple defendants, right? Yeah. So I would sue you and Joanna and Mike for violating my patent all in one lawsuit. And companies would sue Adobe and Apple and Microsoft. And they said you have to file individual
one
lawsuits.
One at a time. Clogging the courts.
Clogging the courts. But, you know, the idea was you'll pay filing fees will add up, which is like not.
No, they're a couple hundred bucks. Anyone. Yeah.
But so what they ended up with, they ended up with this huge spike in the graph of patent lawsuits.
Huge.
45% increase.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, not really. I mean, it's just, they literally just filed the same lawsuits.
Same lawsuits, but you have to do individual
plans. And I think that graph actually really helped them make the argument for further reform.
Yeah. Good. Good news. Vine for Android, 13 million users of Vine. I noticed my kid went from Facebook, doesn't use it, to Instagram, uses it less. Vine loves it.
Yeah.
So if you worried, you know, if you thought, oh, Facebook's got it. The monopoly, it's over. Nobody's going to ever move. No, it's just like Facebook, MySpace. There's always the next new thing for kids.
Right, and Vine, I was really excited about Vine. Used it heavily for 2 weeks, and then I sort of wandered away. And
Vine
for
Android's really slow. You notice that?
Yeah,
really
yeah. It's frustrating because when
just
you want
like
to when you hear about a Vine, you want to go find it. It's very difficult
it's hard.
To find.
Yeah,
and I think I just have the feeling that this is going to come and go, and it's going to be popular, and then people get sick of it and move on.
Bye bye Vine. What's next?
Well,
who's got the app that's gonna? You must know, Joanna. The next big thing.
Neil has been making me
dots.
Snapchat, all the Verge stuff. Snapchat.
Verge chat.
You guys
Verge
don't Snapchat.
Snapchat like mofos, dude.
Yeah,
that's a new phrase. I mean,
Snapchat like mofos. Why do you do that?
Hoping you use that. That was for you.
pick it around Prism.
Who's he talking
you.
To
Jordan, our producer, Sam. I think
Snapchat like mofus. Jordan, make a note.
Mofus. It's already getting iterated
upon.
New
type of Chinese food.
Well, mofo is wrong. There's no fo. It's fu.
I was gonna say the whole thing, and then I realized it's a family.
It's mofus, not mofos. I don't know where this mofo comes from.
Mofu sounds like a martial
art. I've sworn too much.
Rick Perry.
Rick Perry.
Yeah,
what did
he says, adios, mofos, after one of his speeches.
He did?
Yeah. It's one of our regular clips on No Agenda.
Why did he get elected?
He said adios,
I don't
mofos.
Know.
Yeah.
That's great.
To his audience?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's like right out of Anchorman.
It
yeah.
is.
Someone put it on his
Snapchat.
Snapchat's the next big thing.
A whole staff. Totally addicted to it.
Why?
I don't know. We're all using it.
I don't know why either.
I'm with
even
Leo
my
on
son,
this.
Even
I have
my
no
son
idea
said,
why either.
What's the point? I got a picture. I can look at it for 10 seconds. It's gone forever. I don't even know what I just saw.
You can screen
you're
grab it.
You're just grinning. We all of us.
Are you guys sexting each other?
No.
Yes. That's why I had to leave.
Sexting.
That's why I had to leave.
Yeah, that's why Joanna left.
Yes. Now aren't you glad they're deleting those pictures?
I'm going to Snapchat.
Yeah, after all this privacy talk, why aren't you
going to Snapchat you my nipple?
Well, you should be the number one Snapchat
I think that's where we go.
I'm not that worried about the privacy.
I think that's where we go, right?
That's what happens.
Yeah.
What?
He just Snapchatted his nipple.
I sent you a bowl full of skin.
Okay, here
so
we go.
So to speak.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've really gone too far. This is the sign. There's every twit has a jump the shark moment.
Yep. And that was it.
That was it.
That's when you Snapchatted a nipple?
Yeah.
That. All right.
Hey, there should be an app just for that.
I thought it was happening around Erskine Bowls, but I didn't want to say anything.
John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.com, and noagendashow.com, where you will be discussing Prism in great detail and the true reason for it.
Again, a theory. You should listen to the last show. It was done this morning before this morning. Out here, and it's downloadable.
So you spent a lot of time talking about it.
Yes, we did.
And Adam explained what's going on.
He's got a very unique description of what might be going on, and it's more entertaining than a lot of stuff I've heard.
Actually, this is what's great about conspiracy theories.
It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a series of events.
It's a theory.
It's no theory.
It's real?
No, there's facts, and then you come to your own conclusion.
There's facts, and there's the other one. The other stuff.
Yeah.
Neil I. Patel, thank you so much. Would you like to borrow the tinfoil hat? Because I was wearing it earlier, but...
Because there's a more pristine one.
Yes? This one's for your head.
Thank you. That one's smaller. It's good.
Verge.com. I want you to wear that to the Apple convention.
Oh, that'd be great.
You look good.
Hello.
You know, it's flattering.
I have several questions.
Took off by itself.
It's so great to have you in person, Neil. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
The Verge is doing so much TV coverage. Last time I saw Topolsky, he said, you got to come out and see our studio. I would very much like to do that.
You should.
Because I just want to know where the competition is going to come from.
It's all around you.
It's going to be hard to beat this studio.
Yeah, I'll tell you, with a hat like this, I don't know. I'm protected. I'm saved. Joanna Stern on ABC, you're on all the time. You're glassing me right now.
Okay, yeah,
you got the battery charged. How'd you do that?
I turned it on. Oh. Okay, glass. Take a picture. Take a picture.
Take it.
Got it.
She did it. I can see a little tiny picture right in her eye there. That's cool.
Got it.
Mike Elgin, do you wish you had glass? Do you feel left out?
I actually do. I dissed it early, and I didn't do it if I had glass, and now I regret it.
Well, I just regret that you're not the air marshal on my next flight.
You never know, Leo.
Doesn't he look strong?
He looks like the air marshal.
I feel like if there were a bad guy in the flight, I'd want Mike to tackle
him. I'll tell you what I would do. If I was Mike, I would go to Hollywood and audition until I got a movie.
Yeah, you would give you a movie.
You guys have been drinking.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's just serious.
And basically the advice you got was quit your job and try to make it.
Everybody always tells me to get into another business. Why is that?
Hat, so that probably does make something. Anyway, Mike, you can catch him at MikeElgin.com. He's all on Google Plus. And I just wanted to I read your stuff all the time, and it's always interesting.
Thank you.
This morning you talked about a movie, an Indian movie.
Yes.
And it sounded really interesting, and the engagement that you get is fabulous from people all over the world. People in India were meeting each other in this thread.
I deliberately posted it at 10 o'clock at night.
I was wondering.
Because it's 10 a.m. in India, so they had the whole day to talk about it. So it's almost all Indians talking about it. But it's a friend of mine. The movie is Mere Hale Dost.
Which means
my deluded friends. It's a comedy about a bunch of friends who do this. Their dream is to go and do this Himalayan rally, which is a motorcycle race. And he's from Silicon Valley. He quit his job.
That's awesome. Dragged
his wife to India to make this movie. And we're really proud of him. It's an exciting thing for him. He even went to Cannes with this.
Oh, that's so neat.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marshall. Again, we appreciate your being here. Thank you all for joining us. Real quickly, let's check what's coming up. It's going to be a very big week. Tom Merritt has the details.
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at some of the stories we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Of course, Monday, big day, the Verizon BlackBerry Q10. Also, I guess Apple has the WWDC announcement. Microsoft has an E3 event. Sony has a PS4 announcement at E3. So some other things going on that day as well. Tuesday, June 11th, the WikiPad is slated for U.S. launch at $250. House of Cards coming to Blu-ray and DVD. E3 itself actually kicks off for real the conference after the press conferences the day before. On Tuesday, January 11th, Apple is ending support for the original iPhone outside of California. Facebook will webcast its first ever stockholders meeting. Wednesday, June 12th, Glimpse, the social discovery conference, happens. Metro PCS will start using T-Mobile's network and GSM handsets. And Friday, June 14th, the LG Optimus F3 officially lands at Sprint. And AT&T is supposed to carry the Samsung Galaxy S4 in Aurora Red. That's a lot of stories to be keeping an eye on.
It's a big week for red phones. I love it. Thank you, Tom Merritt. TNT, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. You can catch your daily dose of tech news early in the morning or download it after the fact. And tomorrow we'll start extra early, I think 8:30 a.m. Pacific, because we're going to get ready for the big showdown from Apple. Thank you all for being here. We really appreciate it. Thank you, a live audience that was just fabulous. It sat through all 18 hours of this show with nary a snore, and I really appreciate that. I know you're all going to want to run to the bathroom, so I am going to say, and when I say it, I mean it, another twit or two or three is in the can. Thank you, everybody. Good night. There goes Michael. Thank you, everybody.